The views expressed on the previous programs are those of the host.
I bet you George liked the spots last night in the game.
Of the Beasley what? Broadcast Group. It's staff, advertisers.
George didn't watch the Super Bowl.
No,
I did. But I do. I'm pissed off. I hate the freaking Steelers, man. I hate them. Hate them.
Yeah.
Despise them.
So do you like them?
Yeah, they're great.
560 WQAM presents The Neil Rogers Show. To talk to Neil, dial 570-560 in
Dayton. Oh, the Dow's taking a tumble. Let me turn on the channel where I might be able to read the number, because CNN's got it down there like micro, you know what I mean? Dow's down 102 points. NASDAQ's down 8. The S&P is down, Neil, down 10 points.
His guests or his callers do not represent those of WQAM.
Sorry, Maria. It looks like a selling opportunity to me, bitch.
Show on 560 WQAM.
Yeah. M-O-N-D-A.
Yeldy's got a boyfriend. He doesn't know yet, but he's got a boyfriend.
S-U-C-K-S.
Yeldy. Some guy wants you bag, Yeldy. Leo. He wants your. Oh, yeah. Okay, 10:01 at 560 WQM. George didn't watch any of the Stupid Bowl, no. So he's not going to be of much use today. But then again,
yeah,
got the Big O at 2, Mad Dog at 4, Dolphin tonight at 7, and then we got the DA show 8 to 11.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Nobody's at anywhere because it's all over, except for the Pro Bowl, and then the wall of football comes crumbling down. It's all over for months and months and months. What are we going to do then? What are we going to do now? Huh?
Say the same
what
thing
are we going to do now,
say the same
George?
Thing over and over again.
No more football.
We'll talk about the Canes.
Crappy coaching by Arizona, by the way. They're at the end of the first half. They're losing 10-7. There's 18 seconds left. They got no timeouts left. So kick the field goal and go into the locker room. You got badly outplayed in the first half. You could wind up 10-10 tie at halftime. A real psychological lift. No, instead, here's that little pass at the goal line, intercepted, run back for 100 yards. And now instead of 10-10, it's 17-7, a 10-point swing. 10-point swing, and they still came back and took the lead late and then blew it. Bad coaching and very just total lack of discipline. A lot of stupid personal foul penalties, but it was okay. It was a great game, probably the best Super Bowl game I've seen in a long time, except the ones where the Patriots win. Oh, geez, we hate your Patriots, Neil. When are you going to stop with that crap already? I'm not. Rich and I've got some really good, well, not a whole bunch of them, but a couple of pretty entertaining emails. But first, Rich in Orlando advises, this weekend the Orlando Sentinel announced the winners of their annual Foodie Awards. Not footy, but foodie. F-O-O-D-I-E, foodie.
Okay.
And the winner for the best burger from both the readers and the critics was
that
Five Guys Burgers and Fries. The readers' choices have to be taken with a grain of salt, as they frequently vote for chains like the Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and Pizza Hut. Winning the award from the critic is much more difficult, as the critic has a supposedly educated palate, and most of the readers' taste buds died in the third grade. I thought the winning burger from the readers would come from a bowling alley, since the only people who read the Sentinel are bowlers who like to see their league averages published in the paper, says Rich in Orlando. But the winner from both the readers and the critics, Five Guys Burgers and Fries, and I guarantee you that George did his homework this weekend and went out there and tried it out.
No, I did not.
Not.
Sorry.
Well, why not?
I was playing with children all weekend.
Really?
Yes.
I see.
So there.
So you still couldn't watch the game last night, not even a minute of it?
Did you have sex with a woman last night?
No.
Even for a
did
minute?
Did you?
What if she was, yeah. What oh. if she was really hot?
You did?
No, I'm lying.
So full of crap.
I know.
You know, that's something that's always puzzled me. Well, I mean, not a whole lot. I don't spend hours thinking about it, but, I mean, we know that there are couples, married mm-hmm. couples and dating couples, who have gotten to a point in their relationship where they really despise each other. They can't stand even the smell of the other person, and yet, somehow, when they get horny enough, they manage to do the deed. I don't get that.
Alcohol. You're not considering that.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
I see. Well, here's somebody, John something or other, without a name. Another horse with no name. Subject, why jocks are great broadcasters. Oh, and before I read his idiotic email, let me just say this. Tom Jicka got suckered in, and then he suckered me in with his column about Dave Halberstam's book about the five greatest network announcers of all time, sports announcers. And Tommy said, well, geez, where does... how come there's no Bob Prince and there's no Harry Carey? And then I read the article by Jicka and I got suckered right in. Well, the name of the book, the topic is the 50 greatest network announcers, not the 50 greatest sports announcers. And, of course, Harry Carey wasn't a network announcer. Neither was Bob Prince. And like a lot of other great local announcers, they weren't network announcers, so they're not on the list. But Jicka got totally suckered in on that and, you know, nevertheless. So you're not as smart as you think you are, Tommy. But then again, who is? So John, with no name, says, the reason there are so many jocks in broadcasting is because they are good. Oh! Oh, my God. This is just one of the all-time greatest.
5-6-7. Oh, 8-5-60.
That's where you see some arm problems.
I got your Crobotics right here, homeboy.
Yeah, there's just one example of... zillions I could give you of illiterate, inarticulate ex-jocks. Dumb. Dummies. The reason that they're in broadcasting is because they're good. They might not have any formal training in broadcasting, but they add another dimension. Yeah, illiteracy and stupidity is what they add, John. Since they're ex-players, they can give us great insight and anecdotes. They take us inside the mind of the players as only an ex-player can. I don't want us to be inside the mind of the player. I want to enjoy the game. Maybe now you understand why listeners love jocks in the booth. I don't think anybody ever said listeners love jocks in the booth. It's just that the jocks love being in the booth, and it's something for them to do when they can't play no more. When they can't coach or play anymore, all of a sudden, they're broadcasters. Somebody waves that magic wand, and poof, they're a broadcaster. Where's that magic wand? There it is. How come I don't have that?
I don't know. I'll give it to you if you want.
No. Oh, and we got some new production here today. Let's hear it. We got a new rejoin. Don't panic now.
Listening to Neil Rogers.
Well, here we go again.
On South Florida Sports Leader, 560 QAM.
I mean, the production on this station, thanks to Clarence being a lazy dork, is older than Methuselah. Now, let's see. Oh, here I put the date on this one.
You're listening to South Florida Sports Leader.
560 WQAM, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
There's that guy with a melodramatic voice who's trying so hard to be John Facenda, but he doesn't hold up. That's why listeners love jocks, but you're an idiot, okay? And obviously you grew up in an era where only dumb jocks were broadcasters, and you didn't grow up in an era where we had really great broadcasters doing sporting events. Just a few. Al Michaels, by the way, did the Super Bowl last night. Is Al Michaels an ex-jock?
No.
Did he play the game?
No.
John Madden, of course, was a hell of a coach, but I don't know. I'm getting a little tired of him. I always like Madden a lot, but I'm getting a little bit tired. He's got to analyze every play when the play is over. And even if there's something else going on, he distracts us by going back and rehashing the last play and why this guy did this, and he grabbed him around the nuts, and he did yada, 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 and that's it. Every play. Oh, God. Here is the greatest email, perhaps, of all time.
The Geldy one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leo Austin. This is his third email, and it's short. But it's so sweet. Defending Geldy. If I have to write in every day to convince you how great Goldie is, I will. You could write in 10 times a day, Leo, and you're not going to convince me of anything because you're full of it. Goldie does belong on the air. So what if you don't like his voice? Did you know who else has a bad radio voice? Howard Stern. Look how successful he is. I got news for you. Stern has a great voice. Whether you like his shtick or not is not relevant. Stern, one of the best things he's got going for him is that voice. In fact, remember when I told,
What's his name?
Ron Diaz.
Oh, yeah, he thought
that he sounded like Howard, and he got all upset about that.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing he had going at all, is that vocally he sounded very much like Stern. Do you know who else has a bad... Obviously, Leo, your taste is in your tuchus. Now, wait a minute. Wait till you hear this. A friend introduced me to Goldie a long time ago when I needed to listen to a Panthers game on the radio. He brought the game to life and did a great job. It was amazing, and I became a Goldie fan ever since. Now, here comes the greatest line in the history of all the emails. And I also noticed WQM.com has a picture of Goldie on there. Could your hate for Goldie stem from the fact that he is handsome and you know you can't have him?
Ow!
Oh. Leo, you've done it. You struck the mother lode, Leo. You hit the jackpot, crackpot. He's handsome and I can't have him. First of all, handsome with that beak. Stick to the ladies, Leo, although I doubt that you are with the ladies because obviously you're so enchanted with Geldy. There's something there that meets the eye. Yeah.
That wants to meet the eye.
Yeah, that wants to meet the meat. Wow. Well, good luck to you, Leo. Keep writing away, okay? Someday you'll convince me not that this sound makes a broadcaster.
Ow!
In addition to which, your knowledge about hockey broadcasters is slim and grim and none. But at any rate, Geldy, oh, he brought the game alive to me. Ba 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 ba. Oh, no. Here's one knocking Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner played a hell of a game last night. No, I don't like his born-again crap, but nevertheless, he played one hell of a game, I thought. Here's one from me. It's always me.
I see.
Good morning. Hey, remember the Spiced Apple restaurant on Griffin Road? The best corn fritters and salad bar. That's all I got. Have a nice day. We're not going to start with the restaurants again, okay? Enough with that crap. Call Footy on his show. He don't have one, but call him up. God. Can you believe that? The Spiced Apple. It used to be Alan Burke's sponsor. Then when he got canned, they were my sponsor. They had my name on one of the booths. And the interesting part of it is I never ate there. I don't think. I think they brought in food one time to the station. Maybe IOD.
Okay.
But I never ate in there. But they had my name. And now they're out of business. Long since gone, right? The Spiced Apple?
Yes.
How do you know?
Well, I think the Field is at that location now.
The Field?
I'm not sure, but I think
Pepe Fields or Tony Fields?
The Field. One of our
717 votes on the poll. Now, this is a Footy poll, speaking of food. What's your favorite soup? This is exactly the kind of crap that Footy would put on there. But this is Charlie B. This is what he's reduced to now. And since I was much too busy with the Super Bowl over the weekend and losing my ass at Woodbine, I just picked one out of the pile there, and there you go. What's your favorite soup? And it's got 700-plus votes. Clam or seafood chowder, 156. Now, if we wanted to be technically accurate, we could have put, like, New England clam chowder, and then Manhattan clam chowder was nothing more than vegetable
soup. But we know that it's they're talking about the New England.
We do?
The creamy stuff. Oh, yeah.
Maybe you know it. I don't think they know it. Some of them might know it. Some of them think Manhattan clam chowder because there's, like, two pieces of clam in it, that's really clam chowder.
It's not chowder.
Oh, if it's from New York, it's better. Keep that in mind.
Okay. That's right.
You better get your priorities straightened out. Favorite soup, clam or seafood chowder, 156. French onion, 136. That's mine. Oh, do I love French onion. Although mushroom barley or beef barley is a close second to me, and that isn't doing all that well. Chicken noodle, 56. Leave it to Charlie B. Chick's noodle he puts on there because he's lazy. Chick's noodle, my ass. WTF, 51. Pea soup, 46. Oh! Oh, no. Gumbo, 41. Matzo ball, spelled very badly, 40. Tomato, 29. Cream of broccoli, 25. Cream of mushroom, 22. Beef barley, only 22. I hate soup, 20. Well, screw you. Corn chowder, 19. Black beans, 17. Lobster bisque, 14. Shrimp bisque, 13. And butternut squash bisque, 10. Oh, my God. Butternut squash soup.
Best. Did he tuck it or did he cock it? Did he tuck it or did he cock it? Did he tuck it or did he cock it? Did he tuck it or did he cock it?
The hottest show on earth is back as contestants from around the USA battle to become the next American Billy Idol.
I'm all out of hope. One more bad dream could bring a fall.
Somebody please kill me. That was truly horrible.
Great.
it, you know? Ow.
Here she comes now saying moaning, moaning.
Hello, everyone. This is the real Billy Idol. I'm not American.
Shoot him down, turn around and come on moaning.
But someone will be crowned the next American Billy Idol.
So I guess you missed the boss and all the trappings at halftime and the pregame and the 85-hour festivities.
I didn't miss a thing.
No, you did not, because I saw about a minute of the boss. Now, maybe like 20 seconds more like it. He couldn't sing his way out of a paper sack if somebody shoved an Uzi up his
rectum.
Ass. He is strictly state of mind. He is to music what the Rascal House was to food.
The boss.
He's just a screamer. He shouts and screams and makes a lot of noise. Yeah, that's the boss. And yet we were supposed to tune in to watch the halftime thing because he was singing.
Yeah.
Although, thank God we didn't have Justin Tinkerbell and Janet back again so that the FCC would clamp down on everybody again. Oh, please, please. Cracker, please. Can he belt one out or not?
No.
Oh. Guess who died? You can kill that anytime you want. Guess who died?
I don't know.
Ingemar Johansson.
Oh, really?
Do you know who that is?
No.
Was?
Director or something?
No.
Okay. Then no.
Ingemar Johansson, 76, dies. Swedish boxer stunned the world by knocking out Floyd Patterson.
Oh, no. Never heard of him.
Les Kider. I can remember that one of those fights. There was one fight where they, like, knocked each other down in the same round. But at any rate, you know, you're not into that because it's too sportsy, and I'm not into it either. I hate it. Should have been banned a long time ago. It's barbaric.
Boxing, whatever.
What?
Ancient boxing? No.
Ancient boxing?
I don't follow ancient boxing from the olden days.
From before. What does that mean? You follow boxing from the current days?
No, that's the part of the joke there.
I see. Somebody will explain it to me later on. Ingemar Johansson stands over the fallen Floyd Patterson in their 1959 heavyweight title fight at Yankee Stadium in New York, and it's got a picture here which I can't show you on the radio. Johansson from Sweden became only the fifth heavyweight champion born outside the USA. Johansson died at a nursing home in Kungsbacka on Sweden's west coast, said Stig Kaldeborn, Stig, S-T-I-G, Stigget, a close friend who sparred with Johansson when they were in their teen. He sparred with him. Kaldeborn said he didn't know the cause of death, but the Associated Press said that Johansson had recently returned to the nursing home after being hospitalized with pneumonia. You know, there actually are people who say that, pneumonia.
Yeah, there are people who say lots of stupid stuff.
Lots of crap, right? Like that the jocks are great sportscasters. Oh, that email was just choice. One of the all-time best. Not nearly as good, though, as Leo. I mean, Leo and the Gildy.
They get...
Yeah, they're going to elope. Johansson's daughter, Maria Gregner, told Swedish news agency TT that the former champion died just before midnight Friday. Johansson was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia more than 10 years ago. Couldn't have been that boxing, could it, all those hits to the head? When he lived in Stockholm, he spent the rest of his life in Kungsbacka, only a few miles from the house where he grew up. Dementia. I can't even imagine those cauliflower ears, you know, like Rocky Marciano had and Rocky Graziano. And, of course, look at Muhammad Ali. He's looking pretty good. On June 26, 1959, Johansson knocked out Patterson in the third round at Yankee Stadium to win the heavyweight title. He floored the American seven times in the third round before referee Ruby Goldstein stopped the fight 2:03 into it. Back home, hundreds of thousands of Swedes listened to the live radio broadcast at 3 a.m. As Johansson became only the fifth heavyweight champion born outside the U.S., his feat earned him the AP Male Athlete of the Year in 1959, the second Swede to win the award. Who would be the first one? Bjorn Borg?
Okay, sure. The Swedish chef.
You better learn your Swedes, mister, because you sure don't.
Nope.
Patterson avenged the upset loss a year later in the rematch in New York, knocking Johansson out in the fifth round. In March 61, the Swede floored Patterson twice in Miami before being knocked out in the sixth round in the rubber match. Johansson had four more fights, all wins, one of them a knockout of England's Dick Richardson for the European title in 62 before retiring the following year. Johansson was married and divorced twice, survived by five children. Ingemar Johansson, Ingo goes down, is dead. He won't be going down no more. Why is he going down? Somebody press the elevator button because I think Ingo wants to go down. That thing about the elevators, boy, that just spooked me.
Yeah, spooky?
No. No, but I still do occasionally when I get off the elevator, I take my first, I don't look first. You know that look before you leap crap?
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I just take a step confident that I'm going to be on my floor or some floor. You know?
Right.
Is that a bad thing to do?
No.
Kevin says, I found a Five Guys play. I don't want to get started with that Five Guys crap again, okay? Enough with that.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it that it's great because George is never going
to
go there.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go to 15th Street Fisheries, or I'm going to go to Tropical Acres, or I'm going to go to High Life
Cafe.
Those
are sit-down places. Those aren't burger joints.
Whatever.
Oh, stop.
In today's economy.
In today's economy, it would seem to me you'd be going to a burger joint.
I go where I don't have to pay.
Oh. Oh, freeloader, huh?
That's right.
Another freaking freeloader.
It's part of my pay.
Well, that's going to come up at that big meeting with Jolly Joe Bell, I'll tell you that. And I'm going to ask him where the hell your car is, too. Where's George's car, you fat ass?
I'll bring the laugh
you
track.
You tub. Oh, my God.
Que paso.
I've resigned. What?
Que paso.
Oh, it's from my financial guy.
Oh, okay.
He's resigned from something or other, and he's going to be sending me other forms to fill out. By the time I get done, who the hell knows where my money's going to be, you know? But he's been good. He's been very good. Anyway, Kevin says, found a Five Guys place in Fort Lauderdale off Southeast 17th Street Causeway and Cordova in a plaza. What the hell is Cordova?
Never heard of it.
I didn't either. I must say the burger was great. How come no one's mentioning how the Cardinals were robbed one more play at the end of the game by not reviewing what was clearly a forward pass, not a fumble by Warner? Because there was 5 seconds left and the game was over. They blew it. They blew it. They freaking blew it. They had it right there in their hands and they blew it. They let it slip away. Not to mention all those stupid, obnoxious penalties. I mean, what kind of a... You talk about smash-mouth football. What kind of a game was that anyway? It was a great game, but every time a play would end, somebody would smash somebody else in the mouth. Harrison from the Steelers should have been ejected for his actions early in the game as well. The officiating was horrible, but otherwise it was one of the best Super Bowls indeed. Both teams played their hearts out in the fourth quarter. Love you guys, Kevin. But you know what? Three quarters, pretty boring. Not too much going on. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, a football game broke out. George would have enjoyed it.
What?
Not. You're just a hard ass, that's all.
I have no interest in watching other people play games.
That's why?
All. For the same reason that you don't like vagina. It's
Oh my God.
What if it was a really hot girl? You know, it's like
what
that.
If it was a really hot guy?
It's the same thing. No interest. Thank you. Not for me. More for you.
Oh, this Poober guy, he's starting to really just bug me. Let's see. Ray says, tuned in late this morning, just looked at today's poll. Did anyone happen to mention? I'm surprised if George didn't say the absolute best soup on the face of the earth is potato soup from the field. Nothing
Whoa,
else even comes close.
We need
close.
To add that on there. Oh, my God.
That's what it says. Please add it to the poll. And shame on you, George.
Yes, I'm a
Neil Rogers God.
I'm Chris Matthews, play hardball on MSNBC. I feel as giddy as a college schoolgirl who's wearing a skirt and those trampy thigh highs and the wind just blew over my coochie. Even though the economy is dismal and our world seems to be crumbling, I feel exuberant and excited like a 13-year-old girl going to see Twilight. Welcome to three CEOs of the automobile industry to hardball. Got Alan Mulally of Ford, Robert Nardelli of Chrysler, and Richard Wagoner of GM. Welcome to the program, gentlemen. Let's start with you, Richard. Didn't know if you realize that you're actually named after a station wagon.
That's
last name's Wagoner.
Yeah, it's
like
not...
a station wagon. That's funny.
No, no.
I think it's funny. Maybe you don't have a sense of humor. Anyway, let's go to you, Alan. Don't you think it's funny that Richard Wagoner's last name is actually from a station wagon?
I think.
I know comedy. Anyway, what are you doing with an elephant with three balls? You walk him and pinch it a giraffe. Anyway, let's go to you, Robert Nardelli of Chrysler. Probably think I'm going to ask you about the Richard Wagoner name reference. I'm not going to throw you a curveball on hardball.
Okay.
Why is it that you guys flew on private jets in to get your big bailout money? Don't you think that says to the American people, screw you? I think it sort of says screw you to the American people.
Well,
don't get me wrong, I'm a big believer in spend, but that's kind of crazy, right?
Well, I'm trying to
Although I wish I had a private plane, that way people wouldn't overhear the stupid things I say while traveling on mass transit. Let's go back to you over there, Richard Wagoner. Your name reminds me of where I had sex for the first time. Get it, station wagon. Hey, are you wearing any wood paneling on your side? Anyway, let's talk about the big bailout you guys think you deserve.
Well, thank you very much.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm trying to get an answer out of you. How do you feel about the bailout?
Yeah, Chris.
Do you really think... Go ahead.
What I'm trying to say...
Let's ask Robert Nardelli the same question. Nardelli, wait a minute. It just hit me. Your name sounds like a macaroni. I think I some vodka sauce and nut deli last night.
Well, I don't think
that... Ah, it's funny. Come on, admit it.
No, I don't.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Who's
banana.
There?
Knock, knock.
Who's
banana.
There?
Banana.
Who's
knock,
there?
Knock, knock.
Who's
orange.
There?
Orange, you're glad I didn't say banana. I know comedy. Let's go back over to Al Mulally and Ford. Wait a minute. You know what your name reminds me of? Big Valley with Miss Barbara Stanwyck. It rhymes. Mulally. Big Valley. Of course, you could also be the chick from Will and Grace with a high, squeaky voice.
Don't you think
it's funny?
Listen, it's funny.
I'm telling you, it's funny. Miss Barbara Stanwyck, Nick Heath, where we first saw the Million Dollar Man, right, Lee Major. It's funny.
Listen, we're here.
Done listening to you. Maybe they'll back talk the host. Tune in tomorrow when my special guest will be a priest, a rabbi, and a prostitute. That's funny. Chris Matthews played hardball on MSNBC.
All right. 10:33. They just keep getting better and better.
Yeah, I know comedy, that line.
Just like Joey Reynolds. Fresh new comedy, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's laughing. A lot of people are crying.
Mm.
Rob in PEI says, Geldy is the Panthers' Foster Hewitt. I wonder if he can pronounce Cornwallie. Yeah, every time I think of Geldy, I think of Foster Hewitt. The boss can't sing, but the music rocks, says Rob in PEI. Prince Edward Island, well, they don't have a lot going on over there, so I guess, you know, spruced up their day. The boss. Oy Shmoy Jew says, Bruce Springsteen is the biggest no-talent hum schmuck in the known universe. Worst halftime show ever. His wife is even uglier than he is. Who's he married to?
I don't
want to hear the boss, okay? Oh, God.
Sorry.
He
my
sucks.
Impersonation.
Oh. John says, hey, George, how about following your boss's instructions? If Neil tells you to go to Five Guys, then go.
F off, John.
Please tell George. Please keep George on his toes, Neil. Anytime you ask him a question, he tries to ignore you, and at best humors you so you can just leave him alone. Okay. No, George, no. Start working and stop slacking off, says John James.
It's not my job to go to restaurants, although sometimes it is, actually, when I'm paid to go.
Oh, so in other words, if we paid you, you go to Five Guys?
Yeah, that sounds good.
How about if somebody brought some in?
That's wonderful. What a great idea.
And then you could pay for it, because you can't take free food and eat it on the air.
I'm not going to pay for it.
Well, somebody would have to pay for it.
Somebody
you can't,
would. Somebody
you can't
would.
Do it, because
right.
That's the edict
I'm
from Jolly Joe Bell.
Right. The edict.
See, some of the best stuff that we've ever done was during the course of eating food from different restaurants on the air and people bringing in food and talking about these people. We've had a lot of fun with that over the years. Mm-hmm. But, of course, fun is not in the vocabulary of Jolly Joe Bell. All Joe Bell knows about is talking about stupid-ass ball games and give me the ball. Only morons think like that. I mean, I understand people who enjoy it. Like, I enjoyed the game. It was a hell of a game last night, even though I hated the outcome. But... it's one thing to enjoy it. It's another thing to live it, to eat it, to breathe it, to have it seep through every pore in your body. God. Paul says, not to pick nits, but you do have a couple of glaring omissions on there, meaning the pool. Most notably, minestrone. That should be on there. And bouillabaisse. The ultimate soup, perhaps. Fat. Bouillabaisse is like somebody took a bunch of dead fish and put them in a thing of water. Oh, my God. Are you schmitting me? Paul must have gotten kidnapped in New Orleans or Baton Rouge sometime. Once upon a time. You can put minestrone on there. That belongs, right?
I'm doing it.
Bouillabaisse is a soup?
Like people, I got an email. Is chili a soup? And I just, deleted it.
You chili-ed it?
Like goulash and...
goulash
you know,
isn't a soup. I do like goulash, though.
It's
Hungarian
great,
goulash.
Not soups.
I know. Can I say I liked it?
Yeah, I like it, too.
French onion is one of those soups, Paul says, that's all too often done badly, but when done right is fantastic. Yeah.
We were just talking about that.
Right.
That very point.
Ribollita, Cioppino, and Vichyssoise are also missing. Oh, Vichyssoise.
Yeah, right.
I will say that I would not want minestrone lumped in with vegetable soups or bouillabaisse and with other seafood soups. Don't worry about
again.
It, Paul, because bouillabaisse ain't going on right. There.
We
asked,
did what's
we put
your favorite
vegetable soup?
Soup
on there?
No. You
well, why not?
All right.
See, a lot of people think minestrone and vegetable are the same. We see, a lot of places they fake it. They give you vegetable soup with a couple of noodles in it. Oh, here's our minestrone.
We're doing what they always do. And we're asking what's your favorite soup, and they hear, name as many soups as you can.
Now, that's right. Give us a list of all the soups. Go to the Campbell's website. And any of you people, if you eat Campbell's soup, we don't want to know you. We don't want to talk to you. We don't want to smell you. Campbell's soup is a can with water and a few things smeared into it. And a lot of salt.
Yeah. Well, I eat
the then the low salt. Have you ever had one of those low salt soups?
What's the point of that? It's like non-alcoholic beer.
Delicious, but no taste.
Right.
Oh, poor Michael Phelps behaving badly. They're just obsessed with this. He smoked out of a bong.
Give
me a break.
Good.
That's about the first human thing we've seen him do.
It looked like he was doing it right. So I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Looked like the
he knew exactly
an active experience.
That's right.
Try to humanize him a little bit instead of knocking him out. Oh, Michael Phelps smoked dope. Oh, geez, he's a bad role model. Yeah, right. I think he's a good role model. I think if all the politicians smoked a lot more dope, I think the world would be a better place to live in. Brandon says today is usually the highest day of the highest day of the year for people to call in sick because people eat way too much on Super Bowl day, like I did, he says. I picked up some fresh brats, roasted them, had them with a load of fries. Today I feel like I need an Alka-Seltzer, but as long as the food is good, who cares? Right. I didn't eat like a whole lot, which is unusual for me. I mean, what would I cook up, you know? I could have ordered delivery.
Right.
Could have ordered chinks.
Mm-hmm. Or a friend could bring you something.
Who?
A friend.
He brought me lunch last Monday.
See?
Shocker. I don't think it'll happen again anytime this year, but he did. Brought me some good crap. Let's see. I totally agree with you. The boss does not sing. He yells. That's right, Roberto. I also get grief from my friends when I say the Rolling Stones absolutely blow. No talent, can't sing, songs suck. That's where we part company, Roberto. The Stones have made some fine music over the years.
Yes, they have.
But nevertheless, to each his own. Oh, Phil Ark says, leave Leo alone. Oh, I'm going to print this one out.
Great.
This is great. Phil Ark.
Mm-hmm.
If Phil says it, you know it's full of crap. I wonder if he's kin to Joan of.
Our
Paul says, Springsteen's new wife was the lead guitarist last night on stage with him. At least she's better looking than Stevie Soprano Van Zandt, says Paul. Here's a sample poll, no adding necessary, a simple poll, says Joe Dagiola. Which comedy bits are better, Mickey Mouse or Chris Matthews? Joe says, I honestly don't know which one to choose. They're brilliant. I just about fell out of my chair laughing at the last Chris Matthews.
No comparison.
And I know when there's a new Mickey. I'll start hyperventilating then as well. I work with someone whose last name is Eisner, and it takes my every ounce of restraint for me to keep from calling out Eisner during the Mickey bits. Absolutely terrific stuff. And then everyone
Eisner?
Who doesn't like them. What?
I said.
Eisner?
Oh, and F everyone who doesn't like him. Well, F them all. If you don't like him, F you.
The Chris Matthews bits are 100 times funnier than the Mickey and Eisner bits.
Yes.
And tighter.
The Mickey bits are ponderous. After the first one or two, I mean, they could have, you know.
There's some comedy in there, but they're way longer than they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God.
Yeah. That's not a complaint. It's just an observation.
Phil Ark says, leave Leo alone. I happen to agree with him in regards to Geldy. He's a good broadcaster. He's 1,000 times better than your boy, the Big O, or the Big Dog. Oh, my boy, the Big O. Oh, yeah. I'm crossing my fingers for Geldy to get the show slot that follows you. I know he doesn't have a big, deep voice, but that's just not a luxury to be a requirement to be a great broadcaster. He doesn't have a big, deep voice? No, he's a squeakmeister, okay, Phil? He's a squeakmeister. I can't believe you're defending Kurt effing Warner. Isn't it interesting? He's always quick to thank Jesus. I don't care about that crap, okay? I hate him like poison, but he played a hell of a game. I'm defending him. What am I going to do, say that Jesus let him down? Always thanking Jesus and the angels when things go his way, but I didn't hear any of that yesterday when he lost. I guess God had the unders on the Cardinals, but not the outright win. I hope he dies of throat cancer and never makes the Hall of Fame. Springsteen was great. What are you talking about? See, there's a guy with real taste in his tuchus. A man in his mid-50s running and doing acrobatics with much gusto and energy is really inspiring and exciting, not to mention the great music, which he doesn't make. Better seeing him than some washed-up and boring R&B or Motown has been like they've done the past Super Bowl halftimes. P.S. I tried the burgers at Five Guys. In my humble opinion, bland and boring, nothing out of this world. Or to write to your mom about. Well, must be sensational then.
That was a great show, bro.
Thanks, man.
But to be honest with you,
You stink.
What?
Well, faith in me, gutter lad. After 72 cities in 4 hours a night, don't you think it's about time you had yourself a shower?
Yeah. Okay.
And I've got just the soap for you. New Irish Springsteen. It's the boss of deodorant soaps.
Hey, baby.
Strong enough for a sweaty rolling.
But I like it too. Clean in USA.
Irish Springsteen. Now you won't be smelling like New Jersey anymore.
Let me say it again. He never sang a note in his life and never will. 1047 at 560 WQAM. Now, Walt says, because this soup thing, I mean, yeah. I guess we could have listed every soup that's ever been invented.
Right.
Walt says, ever had gazpacho? Damn good, hard to find. No, it's damn bad, and thank God it's hard to find.
One thing
I don't want is cold soup.
Soup, yeah. Ooh.
The whole idea of soup being a comfort food is that soup is warm and, you know, it just, it soothes your innards. Cold soup, oh my God. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And also he says pasta e fagiola is right at the top of my list. Well, learn how to spell it. It's pasta fagioli. Meaning pasta and beans. I love pasta fagioli.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing is if it's got too many beans,
right.
I don't like beans.
What? Because you don't like beans.
I hate beans.
Right.
And they use like kidney beans in pasta fagioli. It says, depending on the dialect of Italian being used, the word fagioli may be pronounced as it's spelled or close to fagiol, even vazu, pasta vazu. A 1927 song by Van and Schenk capitalizes on the latter pronunciation in the rhyme, don't be a fool, eat pasta fagiol. Uh-huh. Yeah, I like it just fine if it's, made a certain way.
Right.
We could put that on there if you want, but
whatever you want.
And certainly we're not putting gazpacho on there.
No.
We're talking about real soup, not cold soup. Gazpacho my ass. Another thing about gazpacho is what are the kind of beans, those big white right round beans they put in there?
Not lima beans.
No, not lima beans.
Navy beans?
They're not really beans. What the hell do they call those things?
Garbanzos?
Garbanzo beans. Now you're talking.
Chickpeas?
Oh, gooey.
Yes.
Oh.
Mealy.
Mushy.
Right.
What have I always told you? When it comes to the food, man, I don't like mushy.
Not all beans are created equal, but those are the mushiest of them all.
Yeah, and the word garbanzo beans. Yep. Feh. Strictly for goyim. Oh, here's a very timely email. The title of the movie you were trying to remember. Last week, you were trying to remember the name of a Jim Carrey movie where he's...
We got it, eventually.
Stuck in... Yeah, that's right. The name of the movie is called Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
Right. We had that discussion.
Yeah, we had that discussion long ago. But thank you anyway so much. Not. Last year you were talking about yada, 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 and I just don't want to give you the answer, you know, like that. God. Oh. Bob says, I used to work at the Red Lobster. They have excellent clam chowder. Yes, they do. But I saw how they make it once. They take their concentrate and then add a gallon of pure cream. It's a heart attack in a bowl, but their seeps are great. Love listening to you here in Connecticut, says Bob. Well, thanks, Bob. Their seeps are great. No, I wouldn't say their seeps are great.
See them.
Don't even get me started with him, okay? Oh, I'm hungover at the in Tampa at the party and blah, 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 blah. Didn't get up till 10:45. The stories aren't up there. He's strictly just a party guy, that's all. He doesn't want to work. He just wants to screw off his whole life. Your buddy. You're always defending, by the way, speaking of me. Defending people, always defending Cordes.
I like him. He's a nice guy.
And that's not personal.
Right? We're talking about two different things.
It's business. The only one kind of business that he specializes in, you know what it is?
Monkey
business.
Sure.
That's all he knows.
You say that
monkey
like
business.
It's a bad thing.
I mean, if he was like 90% monkey business and 10% real business, I wouldn't have such a problem with it. But he's 99.9%, just like, what is it?
I don't know.
99.9 ivory soap.
That's right.
Oh, and a few people are still using soap. I don't think I'm ever going to bring that up again. I give up. Oh, and guess what I found? My soft soap pink grapefruit.
Grapefruit? Excellent.
I saw that on the shelf yesterday, and I grabbed it up while I could still afford to buy it after a very bad morning at Woodbine. Here's a little tip to all you slot players. Do not play. Do not get started on the $5 Wheel of Fortune. That is the biggest suck-in in the history of mankind. Some guy on the What the hell do they call that game? Crystals. Crystals and sevens. Crystal sevens. He won $60,000 in the $5 room yesterday. $60,000. So I guess I had to make a contribution to pay a little part of that. $5 Wheel of Fortune, it's addictive. It's very bad. And you keep feeding and feeding and feeding. Where's a spin already? Where's something on the line? Give me a little something, something. Just keep feeding it in there, like Crazy Maurice the Frog. WB says, the posted article, Why People Believe in God, by Larry Barnhart, is brilliant. Beinhardt. I've read his book, Fog Facts, and suggest it be mandatory reading for the general population, but then the idiots would something after the first few pages. You're going to have to do something about this chopping off on the right-hand column on these.
Yeah, before the show, let's play with it.
Thanks for that posting and the continued effort for the rest of the postings. I appreciate the direction, says WB. Why People Believe in God. Yeah, it's on our website. It's on the bedtime stories that Cordes actually put up. Maybe he got to bed before 3, 4 in the morning last night. Maybe the post-Super Bowl parties weren't as, you know, draining as the pre-Super Bowl parties. And I do mean draining. Oh, here's one from the fake Timmy Williams. You'd love this. You'd love the email address?
Yeah.
Timmy Williams at a safe number 3. Doesn't ring any bells? Tim Williams from Zeta.
Story,
I'd rather be a safe number 3 than number 1. It's too dangerous.
I don't think that's what they're going for here.
Yeah, it is.
Number 3? No.
Yes.
Number 37.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Forget I said anything.
Okay.
Uncle Neil, I can't tell you how much I loved seeing that born-again a-hole Kurt Warner blow the Super Bowl last night. It was orgasmic. Maybe he should convert to Buddhism or Satanism. Clearly, Jesus doesn't give a crap about him anymore. What a complete and total bag boy loser. I hope he chokes on his vomit just like he did at the end of both halves last night. See, I can't stand Kurt Warner, and I really hate the born-again religionist, but the fact of the matter is I hate the Steelers much, 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 much more than I hate Kurt Warner. I despise the Steelers. The other great thing about the Super Bowl is the Steelers had no ex-University of Miami illiterate gang-banging thugs on the roster. So memo to the kiddies out there, don't be fooled by the falderol and propaganda. The road to football glory does not go through Laurel Gables. It hasn't for a very long time, so there's no need to go there. Especially when you only have a 50-50 chance of getting out alive in the first place. Have a great week. I hope everyone who lives in Miami-Dade County dies in a fire. Timmy Williams, General Manager, 94.9. General Mangler, it says. I wonder if he's still, probably not. Once Mommy sold the station to Cheap Channel, I'm sure he got canned immediately, if not sooner.
Are you sure?
Timmy Williams. What?
I said, are you sure?
No, you forgot the whole story about, Neil, I'd rather be a safe number 2 or number 3.
My point is, these people want to be a safe number 37 here. Number 3 is way too high.
This is about Timmy Williams. It's not about these people here. That's all you know is these people here. These people here. These people here. But that's not what this email is about.
All right.
No wonder that guy ripped you an ass about not going to Five Guys. I think the guy had a good point.
Sure. Is he going to
slacker.
Mm-hmm.
How many assignments do I give you? How many assignments? Virtually none.
I can't even afford a car, and he wants me to go out and buy a burger.
I thought they're buying you in like a Cadillac Escalade.
Yeah, that's
with
it.
All the accoutrements on it, all the extras.
Oh, yeah. Oh, spinning rims, daddy-o. I want gold.
Rim this.
That?
Ew.
No. Spin this. Spin the dreidel, okay? It's never too late to start spinning that dreidel.
Oh, God.
When is Purim, by the way? I guess I can't ask you because you're not in the same room with the calendar.
Over here. I just have to get up and walk over to it, you know?
Wow. Purim must be coming up. I don't know.
I'm sure. I'll go look during the break.
Is it in February, March? And we better talk good about Dave Halberstam and his silly-ass book about
That's
the 50
right.
greatest. I mean, I still get angry. I mean, obviously, it's all subjective. But some of the names he's got, I mean, Phyllis George and Bryant Gumball. And Jim Nance, who's just as vanilla as tapioca pudding. Frank Gifford. Oh, Frank Gifford. Jesus God, Halby. I'm telling you, when the heat canned his ass, it must have affected his mind or something. Because he's lost it. Lost it. And Tom Jicka, you owe an apology to the world for writing that crap about where's this one and where's that one and Harry Carey and Bob Prince. They weren't network announcers, Tom. And even you suckered me and you led me down the garden path.
This is the Neil Rogers Show.
You fairy.
This is your brain. Any questions?
Soda and shampoo and coffee and water. Gel candles.
God.
She's with and hair gel and lip balm and toothpaste. Clear as silk for all of those zits on your face. You have bad sunburn, but no Solocane. That's one more thing you can't take on a plane. At the airport, you'll be waiting. It may seem the same. While they make you throw out all of those things, you cannot take on a plane.
Oh, here you go. Here's a real brilliant email. This is great.
Okay.
Now, you know as well as I do that most of the polls, especially lately, come from Charlie B. or Sean from Hollywood.
Correct.
Well, I don't make them up. You don't make them up.
Nope.
Here's one from Jeffrey, who's just all bent out of shape. Your poll leaves out many soups from around the world. What about Thailand's Tom Kha Gai coconut chicken soup or Peruvian spicy shrimp chowder, chupe de camarones? What about spicy lentil and sausage soup? This poll is biased and only reflects your taste. It sucks. Yeah, that's right. I put the poll together. Not.
I have a counterpoint for him.
Yeah, what's that? Yeah, right. Jeffrey David, my ass. It's more likely from Howard David. Jeffrey David. Never trust a guy with two first names.
That's what I've always said. Oh, wait, no, that was you.
Jeffrey David. Yeah, it's a biased poll. Oh. Woo! Oh, here's a good one, though, that we have to add, which I love, Italian wedding soup.
Oh, I just had some the other day.
With the little meatballs in it?
When I was sick, yeah, we ordered from an Italian restaurant. And,
oh, that's the best stuff. That is one of my favorites.
It is good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Italian wedding
now.
Soup, you got it?
Ooh, I would actually pay
Don't
for
be biased now. Put on some stuff that Goyim likes.
Yeah, yeah.
How about that Some Young Guy? Remember I used to get that delivered to the station?
Yep. I think that's what they're talking about, isn't it? That Tom Carr guy or something on that.
Some offshoot, some bamboo shoot of it, I don't know. From some 10th world Asian country. I have no idea.
I don't like it.
One thing that they're very good in spreading in Asia.
Disease?
Yes.
Really? That's what you were going to say?
Yeah. That's exactly the word.
I was going to say
disease.
That or rumors.
Like SARS. SARS came here by way of China.
Right. Sorry.
Because we know that in China they're very, very sanitary.
Ooh.
Maybe that's why at Woodbine and I find these old, smelly Chinaman. It's in their blood. It's in their skin. It's in the pigment of their skin. That aroma could put you in a terminal coma. Smelly old Chinaman. Oh, did I mention somebody won the jackpot Friday at Woodbine on the Wheel of Fortune, 227 grand?
No, you did not.
Wasn't me. Some Indian guy. Punjab. Somebody, another death. In fact, I think I got two more deaths. Yeah, I have two more. Oh, but before that, this is much more important. A Tucson television station says its broadcast of the Super Bowl last night was interrupted for some customers by about 10 seconds of pornographic material.
All right.
How do you like that?
It depends on what it was.
It was Matt Leinart on his knees.
Eee.
KVOA-TV in Tucson posted a statement on its website late Sunday saying the viewers who were able to see the material were those who received the channel through Comcast. Whoa! KVOA, it doesn't say what the material was. KVOA says it'll investigate the incident. The game was sent out from the TV station without interruptions or pornographic material. Comcast spokeswoman Tracy Baumgartner confirmed the company's standard feed was interrupted during the Super Bowl, although she said its high-definition feed was not. Oh, well, wouldn't that have been great to see the porno in height in HD? Baumgartner said engineers are investigating. They're looking into it. Pay your taxes, Tommy. Tom Daschle, all these guys, they don't want to pay their taxes. Well, you caught us, so now we'll pay them. The whole world is run by crooks, so if you think that Obama's going to get a whole bunch of honest people in there to run the country, dream on, baby. The world is run by crooks, kooks and crooks.
Yeah.
John Gordy is dead. You think he's kin to Berry Gordy?
Who?
No. But he's got a Detroit connection. Former Detroit Lions lineman led the NFL Players Union when it negotiated the league's first collective bargaining agreement in 68. Died of complications from pancreatic cancer at the age of 73. Gordy died Friday of complications from pancreatic cancer at UC Irvine Medical Center in Orange, California. His wife something said. His wife, Betty. Goes on and on and on. And we don't care about that. Do you care about it? Obviously
nope.
not.
Nope.
Got to do with football.
Right.
George is adamant and militant about that. I don't want to watch other people play games.
I don't want to have sex with women. Nobody can understand that either.
What?
I said, how's it going, eh?
Oh, I'm the only one who doesn't have sex with women?
Not.
Is that it?
No, and I'm not the only one that didn't watch the Super Bowl or that doesn't like to watch men play games. I'm perfectly capable of doing that myself. Thank you very much.
You play football?
No.
I play the games
that I enjoy playing.
Another dead guy.
Who?
Robert Stone.
Who?
Former top executive at the Hertz Corporation, who in the 1970s hired O.J. Simpson as a pitchman for the Carmel Giant. Died. He was 87. Oh. Didn't die soon enough to make me happy.
Who?
Robert Stone. He was a former top executive at Hertz. He hired O.J.
in
those
that.
Spots
I heard
where he
that.
Was jumping over the counter.
I heard it. I was just ignoring it.
Well, you are absolutely impossible today.
Sorry.
I think Geldy's going to come in and give you a spanking.
Does that
make
fall
you squeal
I took on
just
Saturday.
Like he does? Make you make those sounds.
I don't know if I could do that.
You know, the idea that there are people defending Geldy being on the air is so ludicrous to me. I mean, it's like saying a nice sunny day, like today, the sun is shining, it looks nice from inside. A nice sunny day when the temperature is 75 is a hell of a lot worse than a day when it's like 45 below zero and there's 4 feet of snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Even I wouldn't say that. All depending on where it is. Stone became chairman and CEO of Hertz in 1972. It is now known as Hertz Global Holdings. It was Stone's decision to hire football star Simpson as the spokesman for Hertz in a series of iconic TV spots, his wife said. At the time, Simpson was a national sports hero, not a murderer yet. The ads featured Simpson leaping over luggage inside airline terminals. An avid sportsman himself, Stone wanted an athlete to represent Hertz. He was tired of watching commercials with actors who didn't do anything but talk. Simpson, she said, was fabulous at that particular moment in time. He was a different O.J. He wasn't a murdering thug criminal slimeball who's in the slammer for years and years and years. Oh, my God. Oh, can you imagine the gnashing of teeth in QAM?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, poor O.J. They screwed O.J. Under Stone's leadership at Hertz, the company's revenue increased from $21 million in 72 to $200 million in 78. Stone left Hertz in 78 to become CEO for Columbia Pictures. He retired in 1983, but continued to serve as a consultant. 80 Fortune magazine named him one of the 10 toughest bosses to work for. Oh, that's before they found out about Jolly Joe Bell. Stone came to Hertz from NBC. How do you like that idiot saying that Howard Stern's got a bad voice?
Yeah.
Even you wouldn't say that.
No, but I don't like it.
You don't like his voice?
It sounds like a continuous droning sound to me.
He's got a great voice.
Fine. More for you. You can have it.
I don't listen, but he's got a great voice. See, one thing about me, I can be fair, just like the thing with the game last night. I can't stand born-again, Bible-thumping people in sports pushing their religion on me. But the fact of the matter is, I hate the Steelers even worse, so I didn't give a crap.
I'm being honest.
I can be fair.
He
played a hell of a game.
Doesn't do anything for me. Sounds like a droning sound. Howard's voice sounds like a droning sound. Doesn't do anything for me.
That sounds better?
No. Didn't say that.
A squealing, squeaky voice?
Didn't say that either.
My God. The idea that anybody anywhere would put Geldy on the air
Eisner?
Is just silly. I'd put Mickey on the air first. At least he's entertaining.
I disagree.
Here's one from Juan. First time emailer. Love the show except George. But my dad says he's been listening to you since I was an itch in his sack. And I try to listen on the radio every day, but I'm listening to the show from the internet and it sounds great. This poll sucks as much as George does.
Mm-hmm.
All he does is talk about bad music and rolling around like a faggot at the skating rink. When he's hosting the show, there should be a disclaimer that lets people know the show is going to suck today. He better be kissing your ass, because when you do kick the bucket, all he'd be good for is a pooper scooper at the zoo, although it says popper scooper.
I see.
They just opened a Five Guys here in Kendall, and it's great, says Juan. Well, maybe Juan will bring you something.
Yeah. No,
a little
thanks.
Something-something from
sure.
Kendall.
No, thanks.
And you got John James all bent out of shape. Oh, and you know something? I've been playing the wrong... Oh, I'm sorry. The whole first hour, and you never even chastised me for it.
For doing what?
Playing the wrong exit cue. The wrong deal.
Okay.
I put the new one in there this morning, and all four breaks in the first hour, we played the old one.
I didn't notice.
Well, that's because you're not paying any attention. You're too busy worrying about where's that damn new car that Jolly Joe promised you that you know you're not going to get. You know you're not going to get it.
I know.
The only people that get cars in that company are big shots like Ray Perry and Screwan. And
Joe Zagacki.
Joe Zagacki has a car?
I think he does have a car deal, yeah.
Joe Zagacki's got a company car? A
not
penis
a company
face
car,
like Joe Zagacki?
A car deal.
A car deal.
Yes. or he does spots in exchange for the car, that kind of deal.
You mean like Hank used to have Warren Henry?
Correct.
Well, why can't you do that?
I don't know.
Well, that would require, you know, well, let's talk exactly. about that at 2 o'clock yeah. when we have our big on another one of those conference calls. This is the last one, by the way. I could be out there making back all the money I lost yesterday at Woodbine, and instead I got to spend an hour on the phone with you lunkheads. Now, who's going to be in this meeting? Oh, we can't talk about it on the air. Sure we can.
Sure we can.
You and Jolly Joe and Flea.
Chris Jones.
Clarence, is Clarence in this meeting?
I don't know. Chris Jones.
Chris Jones, the sales manager. Does
right.
he even know my name? Does he know that we have a show here midday that kicks ass and has the highest ratings on the station for 11 years plus?
No.
Oh. John James has a challenge to George.
I got
he
one
says,
back.
I challenge George to an IQ test.
Oh,
George,
please.
You're not half as smart as you make everyone believe. Uh-huh. If I beat you in the IQ test, you have to go out and eat Five Guys burgers.
No, I'm going to challenge John James to a physical contest. And if
yeah.
I beat him in the physical contest, then he gets to crawl off bleeding.
Oh, Neil!
You're listening to Neil Rogers.
Were you drudge packing?
All the stunt rejoins all the time.
Just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Run to toes.
Debt is all around me. Everybody's broke.
I'm dying out of here.
The economy is drowning. They got us by the throat. I'd like to do some driving, but can't afford to go. For the world's richest country, this depression blows.
Absolutely.
After 9/11, the stage was set for the neocons to grab all they could get. They trickled it up to the 1%, raped us all, and left us for dead. Could this be a recession? The headlines coyly muse. There's people going hungry. You won't see that on the news. It's like the 1930s, another grapes of wrath. We're just the rich and dirty. Can't afford to buy gas. The corporate newspapers say it will end. The ones that I use for the sheets on my bed. You patriotically let them in control. They robbed us blind. Now we got a dust bowl. We're in a deep depression, but they don't want you to know.
Oh, 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 oh.
For the world's richest country, this depression blows.
It blows. Don't you know?
Yeah, this depression blows.
11:19 at 560 WQAM. Happy blows. Monday to you. Steelers won the Super Bowl. We're not too happy about that here. They stink. Blows. Anyway, here's one that says, hey, Neil, do us all a favor and send that bitch George home. He's the biggest no-talent jerk to ever come down the pike. I guess it's Pick on George Monday. I didn't realize
that.
Same
person writing all these emails.
Get out of here.
See ya.
JCP Black Knights
yeah,
and
yeah.
Jimmy something or other.
If I wanted to,
yeah, if you want to,
create an email account every 2 minutes under a different name.
Go ahead.
Why?
Go ahead.
I'm not gonna.
Go
Get
ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I know comedy.
Welcome to
Hogball, yeah. Whoever is doing that is does a great job. I mean,
I think it's
so
Pettengill.
Close. Huh?
I think it's Pettengill.
Is it?
I think so. Every once in a while.
Wow. About 2-3 times a year he does a good bit.
I know. I'm amazed.
Andrew says, hey, Neil, how could you leave out lentil soup on your initial poll? I didn't make the initial poll, okay, Andrew? Let me say it again.
Wow.
And I hate lentil soup.
Mm-hmm.
It'll never have a chance to catch up if added on now, so no point. Go ahead, put it on there, lentil soup.
All right.
But come on, you left out the best soup of all, lentil. Not to mention a bunch of others, of course.
I'm going to put on yentl soup.
Lentil. Don't start with that yentl green crap again, okay? Yentl green.
Speaking of the Dolphins, our Dave Joseph talked to Yentl Green.
And just the way she says, speaking of the Dolphins.
Oh, woo. Oh, brother. The fake Larry King, who obviously, whoever the real person is a total moron, says, Al Michaels and John Madden are overrated and past their prime. I like Madden with Pat Summerall, but not with Michaels. Jim Nance and Phil Simms are the best. Oh, my God. Jim Nance is mediocre at best. He's okay. Mediocre, but not great. And Phil Simms, one of the most annoying people ever to appear on my TV set, or anybody's TV set, Phil Simms. He's over on the sideline, number 85. Oh, God. I just think about him. I want to puke. Fake Larry King. Your taste is in your tuchus, Larry. Maybe somebody ought to, like, empty your bag. Take a little bit of the pressure off of there. You know what I'm saying, Larry?
Rectum.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's the way the poll shapes up right now. We're going to make 1,000 votes on this poll today, I think.
Woo.
Won't that be something?
No.
Yeah, it will. What's your favorite soup? Clam or seafood chowder, 178. See, the two of them shouldn't be on there together. This is Charlie B's bad. Seafood chowder is
different.
Fishy tasting.
Right.
People who love clam chowder like I do, a lot of us don't like seafood chowder. They should be separate entries, but too late now.
Mm-hmm.
178. French onion, 150. Chicken noodle, 68. Or chick's noodle, as Charlie B. wrote, because he's a lazy turd and thinks he's cute. WTF, 56. Pea soup, 53. Pea not for me. Pea your heart out. Gumbo, okay. 47. Matzo ball, spelled badly, 46. Lobster bisque, 31. Tomato, 31. Beef barley, 28. Should be much higher than that. Beef barley is just awesome. Killer.
Yes, it is.
Cream of broccoli, 26. Cream of mushroom, 24. Now, let me also say this, and I don't want to make any additions, but there are other variations of mushroom, like wild mushroom soup.
Right,
you ever had that?
Right, yes.
Awesome.
Great. With like
unbelievably
wild rice
good.
In it.
Corn chowder, 24. Say hi to the colonel. I hate soup, 21. Well, guess what? How can anybody hate soup?
I don't know.
It's like saying I hate ice cream. I hate candy bars. No matter what we put on, we
oh,
hate.
Yeah.
We're in South Florida.
Uh-huh.
We hate. Black bean, 19. Shrimp bisque, 14. Butternut squash bisque, 12. Oh! Just the sound of it. I mean, I know what it is and what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Like mush. But the sound of that. Butternut squash bisque, 12. Pasta fagioli. Pasta fazool, 3. Potato soup. And why does it say from the field on here? We didn't want that on there.
I thought that's exactly what the guy said.
That's what the guy said, but we're not promoting
there.
Restaurants.
Well, it's a different animal from anywhere else. I'm sorry.
3. Italian wedding soup, 1 minestrone, 1 and vegetable, none. I'll tell you one thing, and this may shock you.
Yeah.
But in Italy, in some of the really great restaurants I've eaten in, and most of them are great, a lot of the minestrone soup is like vegetable. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, I don't think that shocks me. I thought it was a vegetable soup.
But it's got pasta in it.
Right. Well, that's not meat.
Too many veggies. I mean, vegetable soup to me is like, I think of Campbell's when I think of vegetable soup. Boring.
Yeah, but I think that's got little noodles or something in it too, doesn't it?
No, it does not.
Okay.
Campbell's vegetable soup has got noodles in it?
I don't know.
Oh,
I think
that guy's right. There's only one noodles, okay?
It's a good time for the great taste.
Yeah, idiot.
Neil, this is Noodles, reminding you that it's always a good time for the great taste.
You know, that's a great movie that far too many people have never seen, Once Upon a Time in America.
Yeah.
Noodles, wasn't that his name?
Yes, that was one of the characters.
Now, was Noodles, was that the red-haired guy or was that the Robert De Niro?
I forget.
Oh. I don't think you ever saw it.
I did see it. It took me 3 times to get
Brian
through it.
Brian Bloom was in it.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Brian Bloom?
I don't know.
He got old and ugly, I guess.
I imagine.
He was on some stupid-ass soap opera, and then he vanished from the scene. What a shame. He's no Bruce Springsteen, I'll tell you that.
Who is?
There's only one boss, the boss. Oh. Oh. All these state-of-mind things. We have to do a poll on that soon. Not just restaurants, but people. Like Elvis. The boss. Who's another one? Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
State of mind. Eric in Tamarack says, good morning. Question for you. Did you hear what Bruce said at the end of his crap show? Oh, Springsteen. I'm going to Disneyland. Did you catch that? Last I knew, Disneyland was in California, unless that was Sam saying he can't wait to get out of this godforsaken state. Disneyland. Not Disney World. Disneyland. Love the show and I hate Goldie, says Eric in Tamarack. How do you like that, Goldie? Hates you like poison. Wishes you would croak. Can't stand the squeaking. Enough of the squeaking. You know, it's really, what a shame. I mean, not just because for this reason, but if she were still around, which she's not. The thanks for calling lady?
Oh, yeah, Faye.
She could do a thing for her. Enough of the squeaking.
Enough of the puking.
Right.
To your mother also. Have a decent Pesach.
And you never found out when Purim was.
No, damn it.
Well, during the break, that will be something really very productive for you to do.
O'Neal!
You're listening to...
Stunt rejoin.
Yep.
And what the hell has happened here? Wow. Three times.
M-O-N-D-A-Y-S-U-C-K-S.
Welcome to Hardball on MSNBC. I'm Chris Matthews. I gotta be honest with you. I feel like a little fluffy white kitten who's just been given a warm bowl of milk. I feel like a completely different person since we have our new president, Barack Obama. It's just like on that show Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt, who plays psychic medium Melinda Gordon. When she looks at Sam, she sees her dead husband Jim's face, because when he died, he jumped into Sam's body. I draw the parallel because when people look at me, they see me, Chris Matthews from Hardball on MSNBC. But when I look in the mirror, I see a little girl in a pink romper, my hair in pigtails, licking a lollipop with like a 2-foot circumference. I feel like Rose from 2 1/2 Men, you know, Charlie's stalker girlfriend. I'm totally in love with a man who doesn't know I'm alive. But it matters not. People say to me, hey, Chris, what about the fact that the Dow plunged to its lowest level in Inauguration Day history? So what? People say to me, hey, Chris, how can we possibly create 4 million new jobs under the Obama administration? I say he can. He's a candy man. He can take a rainbow, wrap it in his side, soak it in the sun and make a gravy lemon pie. I feel like a cherry Pop-Tart that's been baked golden brown to perfection in the toaster oven, and it's just sitting on the counter waiting to be consumed. I feel like Angelina Jolie's underpants. It's a new day. Same old crappy economy, wars, horrible real estate market, endless despair and divisiveness. But now we have a president who can take tomorrow, dip it in a dream, separate the sorrow, and collect up all the cream. Obama can. Obama can. He's the candy man. I'm Chris Matthews playing Hardball on MSNBC.
Who can take a sunrise?
Who can take a sunrise? And then sprinkle it with dew. Obama can. He covers it in chocolate and a miracle or two. You know why? He's the candy man. Yes, he can. The candy man can.
Okay, those are great. Anybody who doesn't like the Chris Matthew bits, I have one thing to say to you. Purim is Monday night, Tuesday, March 9th and 10th.
Yes.
Monday night and Tuesday.
I wrote it on the calendar.
Well, somebody has sent me, and they also say, now tell the truth, how can anyone in their right mind like Homintosh, and it's the world's worst cookie ever?
Are we going to start on a cookie bowl?
Well, guess what? Only somebody with a goyish cup would say that, because Homintosh are not cookies. And the real ones, the good ones, don't tell me about those hard little triangular ones that they try to pass off as real Homintosh.
Argue amongst yourselves.
Those things suck. Yeah. What?
I'm on the outside looking in. Argue that amongst yourselves. What's traditional?
The real Homintosh are the big, fluffy, soft ones with like the poppy seeds inside, the mun, poppy seed.
All the real Jews are the ones that argue with you about that. I ain't gonna.
Yeah.
Because there is
no
comparison.
Must be a fake Jew from Miami Beach who sent me this email.
Must be.
The world's worst cookie. And I would agree with you about those little hard ones. Ooh. The big ones are soft and brown.
Right, and aren't cookies at all. They're pastries.
That's exactly right. Even a guy like George knows it. And over the years, back in the day when we could get food brought in, remember we used to get Homintosh brought in?
Of course.
In fact, Dave Halberstam,
Poppy,
who wrote that stupid book about the sportscasters, even Dave used to send us all kinds of good stuff, including the real Homintosh.
No, he would send us the fake ones.
Oh, like I said, never liked him.
It was Pastry Lane, if I recall. The
Pastry
bakery.
Lane, very, very good. What a memory.
Honey glazed, poppy filled,
yes.
Make you fail a drug test, delicious Homintosh.
Those are to die for.
They were.
Real Jews eat real Homintosh, okay? Only Ersatz Jews, a.k.a. Goyim, eat those little hard triangles. You could crack your teeth on those damn things. They're nasty. So somebody, Mark says, once upon a time in America, Robert De Niro was Noodles and James Woods was Max. Noodles, Luxian, Luxian Kugel. Now, Lux is a derogatory...
Like what?
Yeah, there you go. Lux, I've told you this before, is a often derogatory term for Italians.
Really?
Luxian, yeah. And
what?
So,
okay.
Luxian Kugel is noodle pie, like he said there, noodle pudding.
Okay.
And you cut it into squares, you know, like, oh, God, is that with raisins in it?
Is that because it's like calling them spaghetti? Is that what that amounts to? Calling them pasta? What's luction? Noodle?
Noodles.
All right.
Robert De Niro.
So you can't call an Italian a noodle?
Not a limp noodle.
Ah.
Look, every language has got derogatory words for,
everyone.
For example, Schwarzer.
Sure.
In German or Yiddish. Means black. Schwarz is black, dark.
Correct.
Schwarzer is a black man.
Sure.
And it doesn't necessarily be. In fact, Mo used to get his. The things that he says on the air, he ought to get shot for saying that. Unless you intend it to be derogatory, it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Correct. Like in
Spanish. A Schwarzer is a black man. A Schwarzer is a black woman.
In Spanish, the word for the color in the person is the same, and it's not derogatory. It just happens to be negro.
Negra?
Negro.
Is that why they call me Nama Negra?
That must be why. Is it black?
Once upon a time in America is superb, says Mark, so long as you're watching Sergio Leone's four-hour version and not the shortened version released by the studios, which was told in chronological order and made no sense whatsoever. I've seen it a dozen times and find new details with each viewing. Well, I guess in 4 hours you would.
Mm-hmm.
One stormy Sunday I watched The Godfather, Godfather Part Two, and Once Upon a Time in America back to back to back. All three amazing. Amazing. Oh, and last night on A&E, they had a thing about the Godfathers versus the law or something like that.
Okay.
And I came upon the part with Lucky Luciano.
Okay.
It was pretty interesting. I mean, the thing I wonder, he was getting all these other mafia dons killed, and how come they never got him?
He was more careful?
He was more careful, I guess. He had better bodyguards.
Slipping. You know, the other ones, they were slipping.
The Don was slipping, all due respect. Could I have gotten him 5 years ago?
Yeah.
10?
See?
No.
No.
But then again, Fredo.
Mm-hmm.
Fredo is the bodyguard. Where was Paulie? Oh, he was sick.
Uh-huh.
He's been out sick all winter.
That strunz.
Oh, Paulie, that strunz. That is one of the great lines. Very short and sweet.
Oh, Paulie, won't see him no more.
See, you can talk about Once Upon a Time in America all you want, but we could do Godfather quotes all day long.
Oh, Once Upon a Time in America doesn't have any quotes that I can recall?
No, there's just no comparing the two movies.
No.
It's good, but still.
It's great. No, it's not good, it's great.
Okay, but still, it's no Godfather.
And when you see James Woods' zits popping out in that garbage thing at the end?
Yeah.
Garbage truck? Isn't that supposedly what's going on in there? James Woods' body is in the garbage truck?
Yeah, that's the implication.
And the zits are like pouring out of it. Gives me the schmitz when I see that many zits. Oishmoy Jew says, I had garbanzo bean soup in a Cuban restaurant in St. Augustine. It was great. Send George to Hialeah to pick some up and FedEx it to you overnight. Otherwise, no soup for you. No soup for you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, kaxahoys.
I wouldn't do that to you, don't worry.
I would not eat garbanzo soup.
I wouldn't send it to you, so.
Now, let's see. Garbanzo bean soup. Am I confusing garbanzo bean soup with gazpacho?
I don't think so. Garbanzos are chickpeas.
I know what they are, but is that soup also cold?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Well, gazpacho is cold.
Yes.
Woo!
And isn't it like a potato soup, a kind of potato soup, gazpacho?
No, it's a vegetable soup.
Okay, then I
looked it up.
Okay.
I love potato soup, man. I do love. You know what's really great is potato soup with like a little cheddar cheese on top.
Well, see, that's the thing about the field. It's they put like fresh bacon and cheddar cheese on top of it with little diced scallions and everything.
Oh my God,
it's
that's
like,
to die for.
I mean, you've
that's
had
right
potato
up my
soup,
alley,
and then you've had their potato soup, and there's no comparing any other kind of soup. To
I
that.
See. So in other words, you're looking for a freebie there. Is that it? Maybe they'll bring in food. Someday.
I do get freebies there.
At the field?
They're one of our meal deal sponsors.
I know
I got
they
a certificate,
are.
So.
And you still get freebies
they're wonderful
there.
Wonderful. When I get the certificates.
And what about when you don't?
Then I don't.
We don't have a deal for you this week, by the way. Duff is very apologetic about that.
That's all right.
We have no restaurant
it's
deal
okay.
for you.
It's okay. I'm on a...
You're on a what?
A plan. I don't want to call it a diet. I just... I'm not eating like a pig plan for the new year.
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
ask me how I'm doing on it.
The best lines in the movie are from Clemenza.
Yes.
Am I right?
You are. The funniest.
I mean, obviously, the Don had a lot of great lines.
Yeah, no, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
And Santino had a great line.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter with you? That's college, boy.
Here's one. It says, I've seen this many times. It starts in grade school. For example, I was one of the guys picked first in games of kickball, dodgeball, whatever was being played. George was the little scrawny, uncoordinated, pint-sized outcast. It was picked last, even after the girls.
No, sorry.
The natural defense for this is the scrawny kid who announced he hates sports.
Yeah.
Trying to leave the impression that he could play if he wanted to, but chooses not to.
No.
And everyone knows different. The weight is heavy on the skinny kid's mind. And goes on for years.
No.
This goes on and on.
Nope. I was a second-round draft pick right after the jocks. I could play anything that I wanted
Second-round draft pick.
I'm very good at whatever I want to be good at. And the reason I can't throw a football...
P.S. Anyone who tears a hamstring skating with little kids is an uncoordinated, scrawny,
I wasn't skating with little kids. I was skating on adult night.
Ability. Stay in your chair, George, and just watch movies.
Whoever that is, whatever faker, whatever reverend homo that
is,
I'm
going to
beat him in any physical contest you can name. I can't throw a football because my hands are tiny. But I can beat him in any other physical contest as long as it doesn't have
to
do with
height. Are you picking on Tiny again?
I'm picking on that guy, that fat loaf who wrote that
email.
Rob
says, not sure if this would be categorized as a soup or not, but I love chili. No, it's not a soup. It's not a soup. It's a food. Did not mind Springsteen, but wonder why the NFL can't get someone who has a hit within the last decade. Enjoy George when he sits in for you. Think it's a nice change of pace. See, there's somebody who likes you. There's one. What?
No, nothing. I'm just chuckling after that email. That's always the accusation. I'm good at every physical activity that there is.
Here's one about BM, Brian Murray, the spokesman. Buffoon, it says. The spokesman. I'm not doing hockey, okay? Sorry. Leafs won two in a row. How do you like that? All right. They're on fire. Don't know if you've heard of the Soup Man, but there's one in Aventura. Of course we have.
Yes,
it's the
great.
Same restaurant that the Soup... The Soup Nazi was based on the New Seinfeld. Yeah, we know.
I added lobster bisque to the poll just because of the lobster bisque.
Tell George to go there ASAP. We were talking about it before the show today. Mm-hmm. God, they think we're so stupid.
They were a sponsor for a while. We've had them in here lots of times.
That is correct. We love it.
Oh, Neil God.
You're fired. You need to pack up your things and go. It is not a good time for me to lose my job.
I think it's the way my boss told me.
Hey, happy birthday. You're fired.
They no longer.
You're fired.
Well, guess he's been fired.
I have the feeling that the management doesn't care.
Whatever.
I've been replaced by some computer software. Let go a month before my incredible bonus was due. Kill that smile.
Well, ain't this a kick in the ass?
I'm in the unemployment line.
Unattached, unemployed, and living with his father.
Kill that smile.
You dirty son of a bastard!
I'm in the unemployment line!
Inhumane!
Oh, no, no!
I'm the boss, you sick bastard!
Really? What did he say, you sick bastard?
That's what he said.
Well, I thought for a second he said something else. Rhymes with sick.
Mm-hmm.
11:47. Now, what's the story on this meeting at 2 o'clock since I got no information
it's
about
it? It's going to happen, and I'm...
Are we doing it the same way we did the other one? I'm going to sit in the other room on the phone, or am I going to sit in here and everybody's coming in there?
Oh, I assumed that it was going to be the same as before, conference room, and somebody's going to call you.
Oh.
I'm just assuming that, mind you. Yeah, I know. But that way you can't play sound effects.
Oh, that's no good. I got a whole bunch of them in here I would want to play.
Make some sounds with your mouth. Like that.
That's my message for the management.
Oh, God.
John James says, why is George surprised most fans hate him?
Uh-huh.
Look, tell George I'll personally buy him Five Guys Burger and take it to the studio and shove it down his mouth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you guys are starting to get into it.
It's the same guy.
No way.
The Homo Jones.
Well, here's one that says, George always says it's just one guy doing the hate mail about him. Uh-huh. Let's just say he's off by about 100.
Uh-huh.
Says JCP Black Knights.
Sure.
At Jimmy with a number. With a numbered company. Too bad about that horse on Friday, you know?
Oh, well.
I did my best to do my duty, you know?
I know. Can't win them all.
Dave Yon says, please add mulligatawny to the list. Did you ever hear of mulligatawny soup?
Yeah.
As chef and founding member of the Soup Guys, I can tell you it is superb. I've made soup for the past 2 years at the Dania Beach Relay for Life. I've sold many bowls, and this is hands down the winner. It was also featured in the infamous Seinfeld Soup Nazi episode. I won't be participating in the relay event this year, though. They were such a-holes last year because we were drinking wine at the event. Here are some other favorites I've made. Lamb stew and Swiss chard. Chicken, shrimp, and andouille gumbo. Chili with chipotle and chocolate. Oh! Pork and tomatillo stew. And mulligatawny soup.
By the way, mulligatawny is a curry-flavored soup, so you really like it.
Yeah, it says Delaware Farm chicken and fresh veggies flavored with Indian spices. Curry. Oh, get the bowl.
So you
by the way, George,
twice?
Chickpeas are not mushy. Stop buying the canned crap and get the dried ones and cook them up. They have a wonderfully firm texture and nutty taste. They suck, chickpeas. Oh, God. They're horrible. And I don't care what anybody says, including this maven.
It's funny that that they would argue with me when you're the one that was ripping into them.
They're mushy. I don't like chickpeas, okay? In a salad, in a soup, in anything, I don't like them. I mean, I don't hate them. I'm not going to, like, spit it out, so to speak.
You might.
Oh, not another poll suggestion. Oh, the reason, George, is you're right. Uh-huh. It's one or two people just with nothing else to do. You're the target
Homo,
du jour.
Homo Jones, yeah.
Stalkers. The reason George is such a grumpy bitch is jealous of Neil's talent, jealous of Neil's paycheck, ran out
things.
Of weed,
everything.
Wheel fell off the roller skate, can't get the free car, can't get laid, he's short, all of the above.
Yeah.
Yours, the honorable and esteemed D-bag, Chris Esquire. Oh, God. Is this guy? Oh, here's the guy that says you're a wimp.
Yeah.
You're uncoordinated, no athletic ability. Okay, great.
I have no basis for that whatsoever.
John James is back. It's you against the world today.
Yeah.
Can someone stuff George's faith with... I'm not reading
They're
that.
Obsessed.
Yeah. Obsessed is right. Just like the ones that rip me an ass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and on Friday, remember, A-Fan returning soon. I can't wait for A-Fan to come back. Not A-Fan. Remember that call?
Yep.
Now, what was the situation with that phone with the technical deal? Not that I'm going to try it again today. I got a whole pile of emails.
We never figured
I'm
out
sure
what
many
was
more
going
to come.
On,
what?
But didn't we straighten it out by accident eventually?
No, I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I got them on here, but they didn't sound good, though.
We don't know.
I mean, who wants to hear, I'm your friend? Who wants to hear that?
Unless it's nice and clear.
Right, unless it's nice and queer.
You want to try an experiment again?
No.
Okay.
What, are you trying to sucker me into doing the phone again?
No, not
don't
me.
Take out
care.
On me your frustration with all these emailers that
care.
Are ripping you an nasty ass today.
I don't
today.
Care what that guy
These
has
are probably
to say.
Arizona fans.
Sure.
These people are probably pissed off because the Steelers didn't cover. I don't know what the spread was, but it sure as hell wasn't whatever wound up.
Mm.
Would it wind up 27, 24, something
yeah,
like that?
Like
whatever
I
the hell it was. Whatever it was, and whatever it is, it ain't. Did he tuck it? Did he cock it? Did he this? Did he that? Screw it. How come they didn't play? This is what cracks me up about football. Other sports as well, but football especially. How come they didn't try all the things they did in the fourth quarter? How come they didn't do them in the first three quarters? That's what I'd like to know.
Mm-hmm.
When they were marching up and down the field like there was nobody else on, and there was nobody out there. Bad coaching, I say. Kick that field goal at the end of half. Go in the locker room tied at 10. 10-point swing. And none of the mavens talked about that. None of the experts on there. Of which they have so many. And if somebody doesn't shove a roller skate in Bob Costas' mouth pretty soon, I'm going to be pretty porked off about it. He just makes me nauseous. He is such a twerp. Oh, we got a new fake. We got Cousin Brucey. That must be Johnny Dark.
You think?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, he even wrote out, yeah. Uncle Neil Springsteen is a fairly good lyricist and decent songwriter, but he can't perform for crap. In other words, he's just like his idol Bob Dylan. They can both go take a flying leap. Maybe they'll have Dylan do the halftime show next year in Miami. Or maybe they'll let Gloria Estefan do it. She has no boobs anyway. So if there's a wardrobe malfunction, nobody would notice. Quien es más macho anyway? Here's to New England winning their fourth Super Bowl next year on Miami's turf, just to rub it in the noses of Dolphin buttholes even more, especially after the Dolphins go 2-14 next year. Signed, Cousin Brucey, a.k.a. Johnny Dork, for sure. For sure. Positive. Yeah. Who else would, yeah. Right?
Right.
Remember those days at IOD?
Oh, yeah.
Tell George it's not hundreds, but thousands who hate him.
Mm-hmm.
All 30 people in our office can't stand him. My cousin told me that he was an a-hole when he knew him in Libby.
Right.
Is that in Montana?
That is. But, of course, I've spoken about that at length, so.
And it's signed Faisal,
mm-hmm.
some terrorist raghead.
Yeah.
Oh, here, Pedro says, you never put this poll up. How much credit card did you have? That's right, because I deleted it then. I just deleted it again. Boring.
Wow.
How much credit card debt do you have? Who
What's
cares?
What's your favorite number?
Yeah, Let's pick a number poll. Between one and a billion. Rosemary says, I like George okay, but it seems to me he is so bored with the show.
Didn't she write that same email last week?
Can I read this?
All right.
The Dow's down 67, by the way.
Thanks.
Flea seemed to have had a good connection with you, and it was enjoyable listening to the two of you. You've been a long-time listener, but most honestly say, I don't listen when George is on. Well, George is on right now, and you're listening. Lawrence says, soup. A good clam chowder is the best soup there is. Well, that's your opinion. I like it when people state their opinions as fact, you know? So I'll say a great French onion soup is the best soup there is.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I'm not Mike Disney.
I'll say a great lobster bisque is the best soup there is.
The two best I ever had at a place called Barnacle and Marblehead, Mass., and the other at a place called Old World in East Lansing. You could almost eat it with a fork, served with a good dark bread. And finally, what is Italian wedding soup? Italian wedding soup is a little like a chicken soup with little meatballs and stuff in it.
Right. I think there's barley and different things. Different people make it.
Yeah, like maybe little noodles,
right.
You know, like.
Right.
It's like chicken noodle with little meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
The tiny little balls. That's a tiny winning suit.
Mm-hmm. Had some last week.
Nuts, and that you're commenting on George's size in sports. As a short man myself, non-short guys tend to think that height translates into not liking sports. Not liking to observe other people play sports is more likely. I'd rather play a game of pickup football or something than watch the Super Bowl. How does any NFL team winning or losing impact my life? At least when I'm playing the game myself, I'm having fun and getting some exercise. So to that fat tub of lard who knows so much about George, go get another bag of chips
right.
And a six-pack if you can lift yourself out of your lazy
right
boy.
I was active all weekend long. Thank you.
My 9-year-old son and I watched the boss at halftime. My son looked at me and asked me why the guy was so popular. He sounds like he's always clearing his throat, he said. That's right.
That's a great line.
Even 9-year-olds know the boss blows.
O'Neal!
You're listening to Neil Rogers.
Well, here we go again.
On South Florida's 40th Leader. 560 QAM.
The biggest names. The best talent.
Mark Whipple. Here's the new theme song. Break your mama's back. Doom and whip it. Doom and whip it. Doom and whip it. When the offense isn't moving. Quarterbacks making mistakes. Shake it up. Whip it good. Welcome to town, my man. And I just want to let you know, the last two offensive coordinators for the University of Miami have sucked. We're dependent on you, Mark. You got some players down there. Get the pass a chance.
When a problem comes along.
You miss my bet. You miss my bet.
When something's going wrong.
Get it into shape. Shake it up. Get it straight.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Move ahead.
Move ahead. These are all the things we want on our Whoa!
The Big Dog, Joe Rose, weekday morning, 6 to 10, here on Sports Radio 560 QAM.
And just sitting around the house with not much to do. I got Neil Rogers on the radio, and, hey, what do you know there? It's, the 12 to 1 hour.
Hey, it's the creepy-looking guy with the microphone strapped to his head for everybody's favorite late-night infomercial. That's right. It's time for another plug for ScamWow. ScamWow is more than just a towel. Yeah, it's a towel we charge you $25 for. But seriously, the new improved ScamWow can do so many things. It can clean up spills. It can soak up blood stains when your old lady gets on your last nerve. And believe me, I know. And ScamWow can also remove grass stains, polish your trailer hitch, cure homosexuality, and clean up your presidential legacy. Isn't that right, George W. Bush?
Yeah, I'd like to scrub away the war in Iraq, the economy, and that torturing we done at Gitmo.
And no problem, but that's going to take a whole case of ScamWow.
Mission accomplished.
There you go, another satisfied ScamWow customer. And if you order now, we'll throw in a second ScamWow that'll remove hemorrhoids and cure cancer. Take it from the creepy-looking guy with the microphone strapped to his head. If you can't trust me, who can you trust?
All ScamWow claims are completely fabricated. Every ScamWow is made in China and covered in toxic lead paint.
Now, are you going to tell me that you still haven't seen the ShamWow guy?
Oh, I've seen the ShamWow guy.
Oh. You know, the Germans make good crap.
Do they?
That's what the ShamWow guy says. You'll just say, wow.
Okay.
I don't know. It sells itself.
Wow.
1202 at 560 WQM. Here's the, I changed the poll.
All right.
We got 903 votes. Once we got to 900, move on. What's your favorite soup? Clam or seafood chowder, 184. French onion, 162. Chicks noodles, 74. WTF, 56. Pea soup, 55. Oh, my God. Pea soup. Matzo ball spelled wrong, 50. Gumbo, 48. Now, gumbo, what does that mean? Isn't there like chicken gumbo and seafood gumbo?
Right.
Mumbo gumbo?
Van Lingo mumbo.
Right, Van Lingo mungo. Lobster bisque, 39. Tomato, 34. Beef barley, 29. Cream of broccoli, 28. Corn chowder, 26. Cream of mushroom, 25. I hate soup, 25. Black bean, 19. Ooh. Shrimp bisque, 14. Butternut squash bisque, ooh, 14. Italian wedding soup, 6. Pasta fagioli, 5. Pasta fagioli. Potato soup from the field, 5. Minestrone, 4. Lentil, only 1. Vegetable, none. We finally put a lentil on there for that one guy. Oh, yeah. You left it off, and it won't catch up now. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I got one vote, and probably from the guy that sent the email. Lentil tastes exactly like what it looks like, okay?
Yeah.
Diarrhea. Yeah, just like that. That's what it looks like, and I'm sure that I wouldn't touch that with your mouth.
It's mushy.
Like Geldy, that guy that says I got Leo. Oh, you're upset because you can't have him. I wouldn't touch Geldy with your tongue, okay, Leo? Although I'm sure Leo would. Barry says, George is not an a-hole. He's probably a regular guy, but he's terrible on the radio. I never listen to him when he is on, and every person I know who listens to Neil thinks George is terrible. That's terrible.
Yep.
You're terrible, George.
I'm going to go cry.
And I guess you're right. They have a meeting, and they decide what the agenda is going to be for the day, for the show.
Homo Jones and his
Since
buddy.
This is their life.
Yep.
I have no life.
One, I agree Springsteen sucks. Two, funny thing about George, when he agrees with you or doesn't care, he shrugs or agrees in one word.
Yeah.
But hit him where it hurts and he won't shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Neil, can't you see, hear, and feel the difference between George and Flea from last week? Honestly think you should consider Flea, not just for your show and to fill in for you, but maybe, just maybe, to use him as a wedge to possibly get another non-sport show down the pike, says Andrew, who hates you like poison.
Yeah.
And you won't shut up.
Nope.
So I accuse Lee of going after your job. And he says, you know, you make more money than he does.
Lee's a good guy. He was just in here. We were just...
Doing what?
He was microwaving...
Stabbing you in the back?
That's right. He was microwaving his soup in our microwave over here. He's a good guy. I like Lee. You're not going to...
Yeah, I like him just fine. He's not going to be on the show and, you know, all that. They could put anybody in there. We've always said this.
Sure.
Anybody in there for one day? Oh, a different trained monkey, a different voice, a different person, a different body.
Yeah. How many times?
Joe says, why do you suppose they brought that loser Matt Millen back to TV? He proved he's incompetent at picking winners with his dismal record at Detroit. This would be akin to having George W. Bush be a political analyst, says Joe. Well, you know why they have all those dumb ex-jocks on there? Because they're all great broadcasters, and that's what us people want to hear, said that one jerk in the beginning of the show. Yeah, sure. Want to hear a bunch of illiterate goofballs like Shannon. Hey, Shannon! And not only can he speak, but to look at him is enough to make you want to just upchuck for years. Not for days, not for hours, for years. Here's the new poll. What decade did South Florida become a crappy place to live in? This is Brandon's poll, by the way. 24 votes. 80s, 9. 1990s, 5. There's nothing wrong with South Florida, 3. 2000s, 3. 70s, 2. 50s, 2. And the 60s, none. The decade that South Florida became a crappy place to live in. Got it?
Got it.
Former priest accused of possessing child porn. And the type on this story, Douglas, thank you for the story, but boy, the type is so tiny. You could use MagnaVision reading lenses. Where's Veneri when we need him?
Right over here.
A former Catholic priest faces up to 10 years in prison if he's convicted on charges of possession of child pornography. Kenneth Hasselback, 68, was arrested Friday after the FBI learned that he downloaded several pornographic images of young boys during their ongoing investigation. During questioning, CBS 4, oh, there we go with that again, Channel 4 news partners The Herald, report Hasselback not only admitted to downloading the images from an email, but also having child pornography, child porn online. and admitted to having engaged in online chats with 14 and 15-year-old boys about their sexual experiences. A search of Hasselbeck's computers allegedly revealed several images of boys under the age of 18 posing nude and engaged in sexual positions.
Rectum.
In 1994, Hasselbeck was accused of molesting a 12-year-old boy when he was priest at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Patchogue, New York. He moved to South Florida. Oh, he was moved to South Florida by the Catholic diocese. Yeah, move him, when in doubt, move him around. Let him molest some other kids down there and over here and over there and over in there.
Rectum.
Oh, for sure. How unusual, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Another isolated incident.
They do add up.
Speaking of the father, Stan the Man Lee, the living legend creator of the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man, will produce a series Hero for Showtime following the life of a
gay
superhero.
Okay.
The concept is based on the book Hero by Perry Moore, which features a high school-age, second-generation superhuman whose powers are manifesting as he comes to terms with his sexuality. Boy, if he comes into the room, I would really cover my
rectum
big time. You know what I'm saying?
It depends on his power.
Oh, boy. The deal to develop the series under the Showtime banner is a testament to the cable network's desire to become innovative. Showtime produces Dexter, Weeds, and The L Word. While Lee still does some work on behalf of Marvel Comics, he's continued to be a creative force on his own for Who Wants to Be a Superhero on Sci-Fi. The story, which focuses on up-and-coming superhero struggles to hide his secret identities, is based on the book Hero by Perry Moore. They just said that. Moore is penning the script and also executive producing along with Hunter Hill. The comic book Maven is in development of several features for Paramount, including Thor, the first Avenger, Captain America, and a sequel to last summer's Iron Man. Well, good. Goody-goody gumdrop. Just what we need is a
Yay.
Superhero.
Why not?
Probably looks like Leo. Oh, I don't mean Leo that's in love with Geldy. I mean Leo DiCaprio. What?
I said Leo the Martian.
Are you mumbling again? Are you starting it again?
Yeah, that's it. I'm mumbling.
Pick on George today. It's Pick on George Monday.
Why not?
Yeah.
As if.
This is what they decided at their meeting. They maybe over the weekend.
I had a great
weekend. I had a great weekend except for losing my ass at Woodbine yesterday. I mean, bad. I'm amazed you don't have wonton soup on your fine pool.
That's a good point.
I'll bet more of it's consumed than chicken soup in a kosher restaurant, says Paul from Boynton Beach. Wonton soup. Well, that pool's already gone, so sorry.
I'll put it on there anyway. How's that? Just to make
let's
feel
put it on there anyway, even though it's gone. Oh, my God. We just got through doing this, Paul. I think it would be interesting to see how the emailers and others think they contribute to the show. Here's the question with a few options. Feel free to manipulate either as you please. When I call in or email Neil, it's usually to agree with him, disagree with him, help him program the show, reminisce, bust his balls, call somebody a D-bag, like that. We just got through doing one like that, didn't we? Yes.
Very similar.
Just got through doing it. Thanks anyway, Paul. George is fine on the radio, says Owen. I enjoy when he's on. There you go. Thanks, there's one for little George.
I actually wrote that under a fake email. So.
I believe it. Dear Neil, I have a poll suggestion. The following do you believe? Which of the following do you believe mostly exists, likely? Bigfoot, God, E.T., Mothman, Nessie, Champ, Pigboy, etc. I saw Bigfoot in Alabama in 1963 when I was 6 years old. 10 days until I go to jail, Neil God, says somebody. Well, good. Have a good time in there. When in doubt, work it out. Oh, wait till you hear this. Hey, guys, loyal 790 listener, but I switched over to your show from 10 to 2 about 2 months ago. I streamed the show at work. Did you ever consider playing funny past show moments for your web listeners during the breaks? No, we did not and will not. LeBastard's producer does that, and it's cool. And some of the other guys at the 790 are starting to do the same. Well, good for them. It beats hearing Joe Rose pimp nature be. It says, regards, Mike Buck. Sounds to me like somebody from across the street who only wishes that they could pimp nature be. Losers. Losers.
This is Neil Rogers.
Bam.
560 QAM.
Neil. Yeah.
Obama, he's our candidate. Obama, get on the vote, cause we love Obama. Don't care his name, start just like Osama.
Candidate.
Number 9.
him on the Oprah television show, saying he is a man, but to me he looks like a mama.
I wanna get things done, I'm only 71, McCain.
That Reverend Wright, he must be crazy.
One of the greatest TV show themes of all time. Haven't done that in a long time, in about 2 months.
Nope.
TV show themes.
We could do that regularly.
We what?
We could do that regularly.
Yeah, like once a week would be good.
Sure.
I do love that. Moving on up. The Jeffersons was, to me, one of the great shows. Tom Jicka didn't like it, by the way. He thought it was like,
Racist.
Had racial overtones.
Maybe it did.
Too bad.
And still.
Still was great.
I think that was the idea.
Oh. Is that why there were all those dark folks on the show?
Coincidence?
And that interracial marriage? And all of these things?
Mm-hmm.
All of these things.
Well, I still liked it. I loved it. I didn't like it. I loved it. Moving on up. But anyway, most of those people are dead, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of them.
The neighbors, the Willises?
I think so. I don't
the
know.
The fat guy, he's dead. And what
Mr.
about the
Mr. Bentley
chick?
Just died like last year or something.
Mr.
Like
Bentley died. Oh, mm-hmm. My God. Send that pasty Brit back where he came from.
He was funny.
He was good. Everybody on that show right. was good. What was the Florence? Was that the maid?
Yes.
She was great.
Yes.
And Wheezy?
A little bit, yes. Thank you.
And then that queen.
Gay.
George Jefferson. What the hell's his name?
Sherman Helmsley.
Sherman Helmsley.
Hemsley.
Hemsley? Is he related to Leona Hemsley?
I don't know. I get those two confused.
Harry says, Harry was about 400 years old. Harry in Sunny Isles Beach. What is all the hate George about? He does a great job all summer, gets better ratings than any of the sports shows, which proves he has an audience. He's no Neil, but no one else is either, thank God. His shows are always entertaining. He obviously has a good following because he gets intelligent calls from real people, not the a-holes who call whenever Neil tries to get his audience involved. That's right. George gets the intellectual callers.
Yeah, that's
right. I get the dregs.
Mm-hmm. I'm your friend. I'm your friend.
They're all put up set of calls.
What? The ones that you get?
Yeah, I pay people.
I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Jerks probably gave you some
that's
names.
Right.
George, keep up the good work. And Neil, thanks for recognizing George's valuable contribution, says Harry in SIB.
Thanks, Harry.
Give it a rest, Harry. That's Harry's 80th email today. Not just second or third. Well, it's good. Good that somebody's kissing your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we want Flea on there. Flea is really great. And the Interact, can't you hear? Yeah, I hear that. I like Flea a lot. He's a good guy, but his voice is like
too.
A little bit like, almost like that. Nobody can. No, you beat me to it. I was just right. I was on it. Yeah. Nobody can shriek.
Come on, Neil, you can do better than that.
Like the Sheik.
That's true.
Come on, Neil, you can do better than that.
Better than that.
See, going back to that Leo guy with his obsession with Geldy, mm-hmm. there are people who have a voice for broadcasting, and there are people who just...
Come on, Neil, you can do better than that.
Don't. Don't.
Even on
and
a
never
comic
will.
Level. Even
now, if you were a good
music.
Guy, you'd take Geldy under your wing.
Uh-huh.
And massage his thing.
My wings aren't that
like
big.
That.
Come on, Neil, you can do better than that. Well, I mean, I... wasn't really all that gay until now. I like to do something with kids, you know. Get in. Put on this gymnastics uniform, you know. Oh, man.
Now, whose discovery was he, Steve Nichol?
That is correct. Neil without the drops was the quote.
Right. Yeah, Steve Nichol must have opened that drawer one extra
wow.
time before he hired that turd.
Or there was
you know that
else.
Drawer I'm talking
I
about?
I do. It's it was a magic drawer.
Yeah, the magic drawer with that magic mm-hmm. stuff inside. Oh, yeah.
Pixie.
Oh, all these polls, my God.
Hey, don't knock them.
No,
you're
I'm sorry.
You're going to get a good one eventually,
many.
Right?
What is the worst thing you've seen parents do? Oh, Shirley, this is the second time you're sending me this, Shirley. And I deleted it the first time. We love you, Shirley, but enough. Oh, no, she sent it only once. I'm sorry, I just deleted it. That's the lady that bought you the ticket at Gulfstream.
Yes, very nice lady.
She's a very nice lady.
Yes, she was.
But her polls... Races. I heard there was an empty seat at the Super Bowl yesterday. A man was sitting alone with an empty seat next to him. Everyone around took notice of the empty seat. Finally, halfway through the first quarter, someone had to ask, a guy sitting behind the empty seat asked the man, what's with the empty seat? Oh, I hope this isn't a joke.
It sounds like a joke.
The guy said it was his wife's seat. He said that every year since the first Super Bowl, the two of them attended a Super Bowl together, but now she's dead. After a few minutes, the guy said, that was very sad, but certainly the man must have a family member or friend who wanted to go to the Super Bowl with him. The man said, you'd think, but they're all at the funeral.
R.
Oh, God.
You called it.
Oh. Now you know we don't... although that joke the other day, that old one, it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it was,
every
but it was cute.
Every once in a while.
The what?
I said every once in a while.
Once in a great while,
you
know. You
should proofread them, you know. That might be a good idea.
But to show the lack of material the audience out there, the general population has in South Florida, one person will send a joke. Remember the beginning when we started doing the emails? Somebody sent a joke, and I read it, and it was pretty good. And then all of a sudden, like 8 million jokes. Aha! Like today. Somebody riffs George and ass, whatever his name is. And now all of a sudden, we got like 4,000 We Hate George emails.
Keep them coming.
Oh, yeah. Keep all the crap coming, man. We love it. And believe you me when I tell you it kills right. a good time. Not that right. we have an hour and a half to
we
go.
We all get paid
the
same.
Now, are we really doing that thing at 2 o'clock? Because I'm just, I don't know. Shouldn't
what?
Have picked, that was my bad. They asked me to pick a day,
that's
and
right.
I picked the day after the Super Bowl.
I'm sure it'll be short and painless.
You think so?
Well, how much is there to talk about, really?
Nothing.
Sell the show, get George a car deal, see ya.
Oh, right away, get George a car deal. Well,
hey,
what
was
that?
The second thing I said.
Sell the show, promote the show.
Yeah.
Respect the show. Get Fat Chris back on the show. When you move down to the new building, make sure that the stuff really works as opposed to this
ooh.
Half-assed, jury-rigged piece of crap we got right now. Oh, well, George can't put the calls on from the studio and blah, 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 and all the other things. They just, as soon as they had a chance to take that fat bastard off this show, they shoved him in there in the overnight. As opposed to hiring an additional employee.
Right.
I don't see why they just don't automate the overnight. The ESPN crap? Can't they do that?
I think they still have to have a human body here. I'm not sure how that works.
Why is that?
FCC rules and regulations, I'm not sure. Don't they have to have an operator?
Operator?
I mean, but that's a good idea. They could have the like the Power 96 person come over here and you know fill
yeah,
out the
log and
everything.
Yeah, that's right. And make up the transmitter readings.
Sure.
I don't know about you, but when I used
I think
to work at stations,
you're talking Chris
right
out of a job, is what you're doing.
No, I'm not. We want him back. Don't you want him back,
I
or
do.
You don't?
I do. I like Chris.
I mean, like today after the Super Bowl, can I talk to you about the Super Bowl?
Nope.
No. I mean, most things in the world, you're certainly more worldly and more knowledgeable than that fat tub of lard, but generally speaking, anything that has to do with our connection to the sports world, like even Flea,
mm-hmm.
even Flea,
right,
was a little helpful on that. Not real helpful, but a little, you know.
I want to bang you in the butt, honey.
Any smartphone can make calls, surf the web, email, and take pictures. However, only one can tell you what you did last night. Introducing Blackout Berry.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm so hungover. Where am I? Wait, this isn't my apartment.
Just a touch of a button, and Blackout Berry fills you in on all the sordid details, complete with sound and video.
Dancing on the table? How did that guy get my bra? Oh, no, no. No, not the geeky guy. Oh, no, I didn't kiss him. Ew.
You did more than that, sweetheart.
Prepare yourself for a storm of embarrassment with a bold new approach to remembering what you'd rather forget. Blackout Berry.
It's 12:33 at 560 WQAM. Mark says, Neil, I'm not sure if you saw the story about Comcast in Tucson airing 30 seconds of porn during the telecast. I know you don't like links, so I'll leave it to George to find it for you. Says Mark. Oh.
Was that like 10 minutes ago you read that?
What?
Wasn't that like just 10 minutes ago you read that?
Yeah, just a few minutes ago I read that. Within the last hour, anyway. Well, Mark maybe just tuned in. You don't know. He means well. He's trying. And we're dying.
Mm-hmm.
Casey says, enjoying the soup conversation. The Olympia Flame Diner on US 1 in Deerfield does a lemon chicken soup on the weekends. It's my favorite. Lemon chicken soup. That sounds pretty good.
That does, actually.
A good chicken soup and a pile of saltine crackers like a slice of heaven. No saltine crackers for me, thank you. All that extra salt and all those carbs. God. George is fine on the radio. I take him over Castor No Balls and Old Ron or Jimmy Syphilis any day of the week. How do you like that, Jimmy Syphilis?
Thanks.
You idiot.
You fairy.
So how come we don't hear any more news about what's going on over there? Or what's going on over here? What's the deal with 2 to 4? How long is...
Rock solid.
Are we going to be settled with that? I mean, a big O, 2 to 4 this afternoon.
That's
you
right.
You sure catch that. What?
I said, that's right.
Maybe we can ask that during that on-the-phone meeting today.
Go right
when
ahead.
When the hell is something going to happen? Are we going to put something good on the air? As opposed to all of Jolly Joe's buddies, like Kenny Walker, the Kenny and Blow morning
Maybe,
show.
He'll run out of buddies eventually.
Oh, I don't think so. He seems to have a never-ending lineup. Old buddies. Like even the DA,
oh my God.
We found out, worked over there in Fort Myers or somewhere. I mean, this business about Fort Myers, and these people who think that when they were in Fort Myers, they worked in radio, I mean... Is that a joke or what?
Hey, we got nothing to brag about in this town.
No, I'm not talking about the quality, but I'm just saying the idea that they worked in Fort Myers, does that make them radio people? No, it makes them Beasley people.
Ah, I see.
All the more reason why they're not radio people. Carney says, ShamWow guy has got a new product, the Slap Chop. It's so funny. Neil, I know you don't like links, but Google it sometime. He's out of effing control. The Slap Chop. George is the man. Stop drinking the Haterade, everybody, says Carney. Haterade.
I love it.
Well, they had a bunch of it left over from Super Bowl Sunday, so they're just sucking down the Haterade. ShamWow guy. He is strange. He is really weird.
Yeah.
I don't think he's of this planet.
Gets your attention, though.
Oh, yeah, he sure does. You'll say, wow.
ShamWow.
Nevertheless. What is it, like $50 for a towel?
I don't know.
And then, of course, he brings out the paper towels. You're going to spend $100 a month on these anyway, so why not, you know, You spend $100 on paper towels? I mean, you've got a whole family and all, and I bet you don't spend anywhere near. You probably don't spend $20 a month on paper towels.
I don't keep track of that. I'm sorry.
Well, start keeping track, and you can call up the ShamWow guy and give him a bunch of crap. Show how macho you are to all those emailers giving you crap. Oh, George. Now, I was one of those pansies that was always picked last for, you know, in gym class for basketball and whatever. What?
Nothing wrong with that. I just didn't happen to be one of those.
Well, I was. I was like, pansy. And I scored a few baskets during those basketball encounters, whatever the hell you'd call them. They weren't games, but whatever. Tisket a tasket, I could really stuff it in the basket.
That's what I heard.
And basketball, too.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that says, I'm really torn as to which sidekick I like better, Lee or George. On one hand, there's Lee, whose contributions I enjoy, and he seems like a good dude. His voice, however, is so damn squeaky, I'm convinced either his balls are locked in advice or they have yet to drop. He makes Geldy sound like Isaac Hayes. George, on the other hand, has a better radio voice. I agree with him on most things, but his feigned arrogance can be obnoxious.
Oh, it's not fake.
I suppose it's due to his obvious Napoleon complex.
Obviously.
Not that you give a rat's ass about my opinion, nor should you, but there it is. Yours truly, the honorable and esteemed D-bag Chris. P.S. Blagojevich and Palin in 2012, an unbeatable ticket. Ha ha. So there you go. There's that.
Yeah.
Little did we know when Flea came on there that he was
double agent? Hey, why should he be the only one not to try?
Tom Jicka, top 50 sportscasters and argument starter, and Tom just totally, no mention of Pittsburgh legend Bob Prince or the great Harry Carey. That's because they weren't network announcers, Tom. He suckered me into that when I read that article of his and then went down that list. Tony Kubek. Oh, my God. Oh. Says, Kubek's style might have fashioned a trend of color commentators that included the ex-players who followed, like Jim Palmer with the magic underwear, Tim McCarver, and Jim Cat. Kitty. Oh. And how could we forget, speaking of unacceptable jocks, who's that idiot that does the White Sox game? See, I'm asking you.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, he put it on the board. Yes. Oh, he is the worst, the absolute worst. What the hell is his name? I can't think of it. Another dumbass jock. Horrible. You can put it on the board. Yes. No. How can I? See, I had a brain fart on that. Now, Chris wouldn't know it either, so don't feel bad.
All right, I won't.
Don't feel inadequate that you're not a sports nerd.
Oh, gee.
I could look it up, but somebody will immediately email it in. See, one thing we don't figure about on the emails is the delay. Holy Schmidt, Neil, I can't believe you read my email. I think the funny breaks for your online fads would be a big plus. Oh, this is the clown allegedly for across the street. Fans like me like your show, but typically dislike 560. What do you say? I say write us down. Michael Hartman, Merritt Yacht Brokers. This is the guy who allegedly has got something to do with across the street, Fort Lauderdale. I can't believe you read. Well, why not? What a child. Oh, my God. Neil read my email. I'm going to go home and do the squats all day.
Oh, Neil.
Goldie, I fucked him up.
Trump 44 QM, Ken Harrelson, the Hawk, the White Sox announcer, one of the all-time worst, and another classic example of how ex-jocks are dumb, they're illiterate, they shouldn't be broadcasting ball games, and that John idiot with no last name who sent that fake email in the beginning of the show, you're full of crap. Oh, no, they have insight. Yeah, insight my ass.
Did they have to use a light?
Yeah, search party.
Scope.
Hawk Harrelson, WGN and FSN Chicago for the Boring White Sox. It says, terminal fake enthusiasm. No Roxy for sure. Who the hell's Roxy?
I don't know. Roxy Roker.
Keep up the chuckles, and George presents killer shows in your absence. Keep up the great work, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Mike Lang, detailed broadcaster's voice, genius enthusiasm, my favorite. Yeah, Mike Lang is great, and he got screwed, stabbed in the back by his former partner, Staggerwall, there, who's horrible. So they demoted Mike to radio, and Staggerwall's doing the TV for the Penguins. Staggerwall, backstabber. Always look out, just like Flea. You think he's a good guy now, just wait. He wants that job.
That's fine.
Brandon says, since George won't do it, I think I'll have to go to lunch one day this week at Five Guys, give you a first-hand report. Well, at least there's somebody we know and we can trust, I think.
Maybe he makes the big bucks.
What?
Brandon.
Brandon, he's manager in his office. I don't know how much he makes.
He probably doesn't have a family and kids either.
No, he does not. I think he's got a girlfriend and a boyfriend, but other than that. I guess that's kind of tough when you're bi, you know? You probably have to have one of each hanging around.
I wouldn't call it tough.
Besides, I'm sick and tired of all the crap there is in downtown Fort Lauderdale, says Brandon. So he's gonna be our spy reporter for Five Guys.
Way to go.
Burgers and fries. What?
I said, way to go.
Ken the Hawk Harrelson, I got about four of those. Total idiot. Thank you. Total idiot doesn't come close to describing it. He is embarrassing and grotesque. Put it on the board! Yes! He's just a homer. I mean, nothing wrong with being a homer if you're a broadcaster as well. He is a homer without being a broadcaster, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's just a shouter. Boy, several Ken Harrelson emails. Good. 142 votes on the new poll. That means we did over 1,000 for the two.
Ow!
Oh, yeah. We're going to do over 1,100 all told. Who the hell needs that fat tub, Chris, anyway? So what's the story? Is he going to be doing the stories in March? I mean, I realize it's only February the 2th, but
I don't know.
March is coming up pretty quickly, you know?
It's a short month.
Sun is shining. I think this weekend it's going to be in plus territory. Yesterday it was +4, 40 degrees here. Heat wave. I put on my bathing suit and I ran outside naked and swimming around on the snowbanks. Not.
Wow.
And now it's all the way up to -1. It's going to be 0 today, 32. Oh, we're having a heat wave like in Australia. Did you see that? People are dying.
Yeah.
Not that there's any such thing as global warming, you understand.
It's a myth.
Myth? Like Myth America?
Yes.
145 votes on the poll. What decade did South Florida become a crappy place to live in? The 80s, 55. The 90s, 36. There's nothing wrong with South Florida, 22. Right. Those are people that just moved in. 70s, 14. The 2000s, 13. The 50s, 4. And the 60s, only 1. I guess the 60s were pretty good just about no matter where you lived. Unless you got to like 67 when all the rioting started, like in Miami and Detroit and Watts, like WhatsApp.
I'll take your word for it.
Where were you in 67?
Huber.
You were?
I was 3 years old. I was born in 64.
Oh, my God. God, are you old or what?
When I was 4, that's when I came here.
Pretty soon, you know, by the time we finish with this show, if I live that long, you're going to be 50. 50?
Yeah.
You should live so long. Not with the kind of lifestyle that you live. That's why you're always sick.
Right.
Then he blames it on the wife and the kids and the dog, you know. Right,
whatever you say.
Everybody in the family is sick, and
they
couldn't avoid it, and blah, blah, blah. You're sick because of your decadent lifestyle.
That's it. Whatever you say.
Bob says, except for George, whose voice is quite distinctive, everybody else who has helped on your show the past few years all sound the same. Since the days of Beaner Boy, anyway.
Hola.
When you were George is on vacation and two guys are on the show, I can never tell who's who. It was as if the station kept guys starting in radio or production who all had the same pitch and speaking pattern to their voice. Has that occurred to anyone else, says Bob? No, it never occurred to me. Did it occur to you?
It's actually just the same person under a lot of different
names. Yeah, that's right. It's just like the emails. It's just one person using a bunch of names. Flea is really Josh Cordes and really Fat Chris and, you know, like that. It's the same guy. Don't tell me we're going to start running out of emails now. Yeah, they're done. Although this is pretty good. They carried it almost till 1 o'clock today. Aren't you proud?
I am, as punch.
No, actually, I have a pile here. I didn't realize it. Oh, no, this isn't
pile
a pile.
Of what?
This is, no, this is a pile of crap.
Oh.
This is that top 50 sports announcers crap from Tom Jicka and Dave Halberstam. I can't believe Tom Jicka. Well, you know, it's easy to get suckered in on that, but it's network announcers for crying out loud. And yet we can argue about them all day long because there's some real crap burgers on that list, Halby. And let me ask you this. How do you determine, what's the difference between number 11 and number 12?
Good point.
Like, for example, when we asked before about the favorite soups, what are your 10 favorite soups?
Is there like a list of criteria and you have to check things off? How's your
And what is the difference between number 8 and number 9?
Just a little bit more pepper. Just if they had put just a little bit more pepper in it, you know.
Really?
Would have put it over
cayenne
the top.
Pepper?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How about paprika?
Okay.
Ooh,
that's
bad
stuff. That has an effect on
paprika
you.
And pepper are the only two things that don't dissolve in the body. They come out exactly the same way as they go in. So they go steamrolling through your
that's
gut.
That's right. It's just
and then they can make a beeline through your...
Rectum.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the tracks they leave on your innards? I wonder when you get a colonoscopy, which I did have that one.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if they see, like, the tracks. Well, I mean, it all depends on who's...
They saw all the graffiti written on the walls.
Can you imagine the tracks in Tom Cruise's?
Rectum.
Wow. That's a different kind of track.
Kilroy was here.
Killjoy. But you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. All the different kinds of food that have gone burrowing through there and all the hot spices, especially Mexicans.
Ooh.
Speaking of that, Clifton Kendall says, Neil, I put a barf bucket next to my couch and watched The Trials of Ted Haggard on HBO last night. First, I've never seen him before. He looks like a flaming, screaming queen.
Flaming!
Well, that's because he is. Second, he had a poop-eating grin on his face the whole time. That made me hurl. Good thing I had the bucket handy. A poop-eating grin. Oh. I can't even begin to imagine what kind of a grin that is. Can you? Oh. Too bad that restaurant critic is dead, Peter Clayton. He could have probably given us some insights out of that.
Get the dental floss.
Yeah. Get the little spoon. Restaurant critic. Oh, I'm telling you, the one time that Bill Calder had him on, and I was sticking around, you know, after midnight, and he brought in, I'm trying to think of what kind of food it was, in a can.
Yeah. Was it brown?
Yes. And he opened it up, and of course, Calder and I both knew about his proclivities at that point.
Oh, I see.
We had been told by somebody who knew him well. I started laughing so hard that I had to hurl myself up against the studio wall so as not to fall down on the floor. And started peeing my pants and then had to run to the tea room. It was, I'm trying to remember what the hell they were. They were nasty looking. Anyway, it says they interviewed the male prostitute that outed Ted Haggard. He was a good looking guy on the downside in his 40s. He was obviously a pitcher, not a catcher. I think I read this, didn't I?
Sounds familiar, actually.
Yeah, I read this on Friday, but that's okay.
Oh, that guy's going to be emailing you back. You read an email?
No, he's not. Clifton Kendall. Oh, the other one. Yeah, already read that one.
Email. Huh?
Too bad. Too bad. It's all we got. I got a couple more things here. Then we're going to do one of those 1 to 2 hours.
One of those?
Remember we used to do them on Wednesday, those 1 to 2 hours?
Ooh.
Well, here's a couple more. Which would you rather be in without nasty cold weather, a hat or gloves? Gloves. Who the hell wears gloves? I mean, I see some people here wearing gloves.
Up north, if
gloves
you have to be outside for a while.
Pansies. What?
If you have to be outside for a long time.
Gloves?
Yeah.
I sure as hell don't want to be without my toque.
Right?
I don't see too many people. I mean, you know, baseball caps, yes, but like a real hat? Who the hell wears a hat anymore? Like a fedora, you know?
Right.
Like a top hat.
Mm-mm.
But a toque. Everybody's got to have a toque.
In the winter? You betcha.
Paul says, the clam chowder, I just farted so bad. It must
really?
Be from all the soup talk that I'm just nauseous. I just want to... Either that or it was about that caca stuff.
Caca?
Yeah. The clam chowder I had in Maine at the Cliff House was the absolute best ever in the world, Mon. I loved it so much I got the recipe. Please make it and you'll never go back. Love the show and keep smoking, Mon. And it's got the whole menu here. I'm not... The whole recipe. I'm not doing recipes. Hickory smoked bacon and butter and onion and garlic and, 1 teaspoon of the Cliff House spice blend, which it tells you how to make that with about, there's like 100 ingredients in here. I'm going to make that? You must be crazy. Like all of a sudden I'm a gourmet cook and I'm going to stand over a hot stove stirring 100 different ingredients. Gourmet, Neil the gourmet, the gay gourmet.
There's a show.
Yeah. I think he's already on there, the gay gourmet.
You can teach people how to cook with fruit.
He's that screaming bald guy, that British guy that you can't never think of the name of.
Because I don't know him?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. You tell me that the guy that you watch is always making fun of him. He's an islandsman. Islands. When I was reading the other day about Jamaica, where the hell was I reading that?
It?
Somewhere online about how Jamaica is the most homophobic country in the world?
I've heard this, and I've known some Jamaicans, and they confirm it.
Really?
Yeah.
In fact, I understand that every word in Jamaican means...
You fairy!
Like that. It's a good machine, man.
You fairy!
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. Also, Sri Lanka. Oh, maybe you can tell me what the Tamil Tigers are.
The Tamil Tigers?
Correct. Because evidently there's been like a lot of bloodshed and murder and stuff in Sri Lanka.
Sounds like
and over the weekend
team.
Here, there were like... Because any country you can find in the world, we got a whole bunch of them here.
Okay.
And there were a whole bunch of Sri Lankans demonstrating and blocking off a couple of the streets and holding up placards and screaming and yelling and stop the murder and stop the insanity. That's another country where they don't like the faggots. Sri Lanka.
Sorry, I'm belching.
Are you really? Why, are you eating something?
No, all the soup talk made me really hungry, but all I've got is those nasty...
Well,
I've
got news for you. Maybe at 2 o'clock you can have somebody bring in some food, and we won't eat it on the air or talk about it. And you can spike it. You can do something with it and feed it to all the other people in the meeting.
This is Scott Burrell. And when I'm up in Boca Chica slapping old women with painted lips around the pool, I listen to the Neil Rogers 1 to 2 hour. I listen to the Neil Rogers Fair and Balance 1 to 2 hour.
Meanwhile, the Democratic race between Barack and Obama and Hillary Clinton, still too close to call. We'll have more later. That went smoothly.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to, I'll have to ad lib it. Give me one interesting exit poll, please.
Emory Banks for ABC 25 Today. Back to you, Jan.
Thanks, Marie. It's 6:17 in Health Watch this morning. Doctors in Utah are hoping for a new medical breakthrough to solve the problems of attention disorder behavior with problems with children. Attention deficit hyperactivity is a common disorder, and it affects 3 out of 5 kids, or actually 3 to 5% of the children with... Let's start this all over again. Back it up and start it over. I'm lost.
So I'm doing the first one. He's not expecting a big win. And then how has his money and staff situation changed? Okay, and then there's much more CBS news ahead. Okay, Freddie, Giuliani's dead. I mean, you know what I mean. Hey, Eric, did you use the cool shadow on the snow shot yet? The CBS? Yeah. It's so cool. I don't think it's hokey. I think it's so cool.
A local man spots something suspicious and decides to spring into action. He has done something that is very good.
Wheatland or Wheatland? Wheatland, right? How do you say that? Does anyone know? Sorry. Wheatland. 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 Okay. Oh, okay. Wheatland, Wisconsin. So I'll say Cynthia. Cynthia? She has pretty eyes. They're freaking me out a little. No, she looks like a husky. You know those weird blue eyes? Huh?
Yeah.
Are we not closed out?
Cindy McCain has the most intense eyes. They're like light ice blue. And she had a purple suit on, and they were so intense. I was like, I couldn't stop staring at her. She must have thought I was weird.
Thank you. All right, it's back to you, Jim.
Holly, don't let her go away. What does she have a response to that? Is she still there?
What's that?
Did the lady just leave?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. Should have kept that discussion.
She's back if you want her.
Yes.
She heard you.
Yes.
What would you like to know?
I'd like to know a response to what the gentleman said. The gentleman's a very effective spokesperson for the company, but obviously the people who live there are not satisfied with his explanation.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.
Why don't you do that later, Jim? I think the lady expressed herself, and you're not here, you're there. Is there any question you'd like me to ask her?
No, I'll give you lessons on how to become a reporter later.
Yeah, I'll give you some lessons on how to be an editor, because I was your boss once.
Yeah, you were. And are no longer. How did that happen?
Here's
Aaron Bill DeMillo.
Clearly putting a mission accomplished on an aircraft carrier was a mistake.
Were some people predicting Obama would beat Hillary by 20 points? 10? Double digits. Okay.
Obviously, some of my rhetoric has been a mistake.
Tonight, a 7.2 magnitude earthquake rattled Alaska's seismically active Aleutian Islands. It was magnitude 7.2. It was a very large earthquake. The good thing is there were no immediate reports of any damages or injuries.
So, from the magnitude? Right after the break, we're going to interview Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's blind. So we'll hear about that.
Okay, as we head to the break, a look at the six.
There have been disappointments. Abu Ghraib obviously was a huge disappointment during the presidency. Not having weapons of mass destruction was a significant disappointment.
I know who likes chocolate. Our Zane Virgie loves chocolate. One of our main candidates. Oh, nice melons behind you there.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. Was that a personal
light? As we check the buoys out shore.
I don't appreciate the speculation about Don Rumsfeld. He's doing a fine job. I strongly support him.
Well, what do you say to critics who believe that you're ignoring the advice of retired generals, military commanders, who say that there needs to be a change?
I say I listen to all voices, but mine's the final decision. And Don Rumsfeld is doing a fine job. I have strong confidence in Don Rumsfeld. I hear the voices, but I'm the decider.
Huckabee, he wasn't expecting to win. Okay, and then I'd like to ask her, in South Carolina, he should do better. I would rather look ahead to that. Yeah, okay. Jen, hold on 2 seconds, Rick. Can you hold on 2 seconds? Jen, where's my new Clinton Obama took those two cards you made me? That you put on, you condensed to two cards?
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. You have to just title them, okay?
Okay.
Clinton Obama, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Because otherwise it's hard for me to pull them out.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Never mind. Sorry. Okay, sorry, Rick.
Okay.
Is that a bad monitor on top, just out of curiosity? Does it look so much better in the one below? So I guess Romney was exuding kind of false confidence, right? Harkening back to his Olympic experience in Salt Lake City. But will he do well in Michigan? Today is Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, amen. That blows. 107 at 560 WQM. I'm waiting for the first email to come and saying, oh, that was really funny once or twice, but don't ever play that again. You know, like that?
I don't know if I'm going to ever get tired of that one.
Really?
I mean, there's a lot of funny stuff in there.
But it's only six minutes and 37 seconds.
Not long enough.
That's why I like it.
I know.
Now, wait till you hear this. You think we get stupid ones before, like the thing about the porno in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Matt says, Neil, are you contemplating, and this was sent at 102 six minutes ago.
Okay.
Neil, are you contemplating using my soup pool? Watch out, Charlie. That would be two for two. Michigan Matt found a life. P.S. I used to work for the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island, and they had Swiss cheese soup on the menu at one time. It was just chicken stock with Swiss cheese melted in, only cheese that'll melt and blend without breaking. Huge archive, listen. No critiques or complaints here. P.S. Grand Hotel also has lots of Jamaican waiters there, man. Are you contemplating using my soup pool?
That's great. That's awesome.
Oh. I'm just going to sit on the floor until 2 o'clock.
Well, take the mic with you.
Now, are they going to call me at 2, right at 2, or 2?
I presume they'll right at 2. I'm going to be busy for a few minutes.
Doing what?
Something.
Not joicing.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Again?
Yeah, again.
Joyce and rejoice, baby.
Yeah. Have you ever not done that twice in the same day?
Yeah, very often.
Sure, so.
I was thinking about it earlier, and then I thought, nah, I don't know.
Me too, I can wait, and I'm going to.
This was written April 12, 2006 in Time magazine. The most homophobic place on earth, ? And I'll give you 100 guesses, but the first 99 don't count. What the country it's about.
Yaman.
Oh, all right, I was going to say that.
Oh. I think I'll do the break early, and because I want to read it in its entirety.
Okay.
Because I have one thing to say to any homophobic Jamaicans.
You fairy.
I rest my case.
Does the story?
Suck it in and hold it.
Stunt rejoin number 50. You idiot, Clarence.
Ooh, the mafioso guys, the manly guys. Please don't tell me now there's a gay soprano. Ooh, you don't know where he's been. Embarrassing. The network had to introduce a gay soprano. Never gonna stop, give it up. Stop the life of crime, but it's really tough to realize one does it from behind. Gay, 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 gay. Woo! Gay soprano. Gay soprano. Oh!
115 at 560 WQM. So Matt comes back at us. Matt from Michigan, you know? Michigan Matt?
Yeah.
What is so funny? What's the big tsimus? Did you run the soup pool all weekend? Oops. No, I didn't run it all weekend. I put it on there yesterday, and it was on there this morning till at least noon, and it got a lot of discussion and a lot of votes, 902 votes. And that's that, Matt. Go away. Oh, I got a life. I'm the new poll guy. I got a 2 for 2. Yeah. What Matt is trying to say is...
I have no life.
Right. Can you believe that?
I believe it.
Did it run all weekend? Maybe if you checked our website once in a while, you'd find out what that was on there. And I take it back. I credited that to Charlie B. Sorry, Charlie. And it was Matt who did the soup pool. With some really bad spun. Matza, M-A-T-Z-A. Matza.
Yeah.
Scott in Pinellas Park said, Joe, my worst announcer, Joe Morgan. He calls him Joe Migraine. Or no, maybe he's talking about, I don't know, maybe it's not Joe Morgan. Joe McGrain. I don't know who that is. He sucked with the Rays. Alderman Homer tried to start crap with Curt Schilling of the Red Sox. Was always pathetic on NBC's Olympic baseball coverage. Worked 3 Olympics for them. Also stunk during the postseason on Fox. Now he's with the new Major League Baseball Network. Guess they were desperate. Who's Joe McGrain? I thought he meant Joe Morgan.
Never heard of him.
Best soup? It's a tie, he says. The beef vegetable soup at Denny's and Steak and Shake addicting. Oh, that's because Scott is stuck in Pinellas Park, I guess.
Wow.
I didn't even know Steak and Shake made soup. Do they? I guess
they
do.
They must.
Tim Hortons makes soup. Never had it. And if the best soup is at Denny's, oh.
Wow.
Wow, that says a lot. I thought they had good restaurants over there. Anyway, Tim Padgett in Kingston, Jamaica, writes, the most homophobic place on earth. He says, Brian wears sunglasses to hide his gray and lifeless left eye, damaged, he says, by kicks and blows with a board from Jamaican reggae star Buju Banton. Brian, 44, is gay, and Banton, 32, is an avowed homophobe whose song, Boom Bye Bye, decrees that gays half-y dead have to die. Half-y dead.
Mm-hmm.
In June 2004, Brian claims Banton and some toughs burst into his house near Banton's Kingston recording studio and viciously beat him and 5 other men. After complaints from international human rights groups, Banton was finally charged last fall, but in January, a judge dismissed the case for lack of evidence. It was a bitter decision for Brian, who lost his landscaping business after the attack and is fearful of giving his last name. I still go to church, he says, as he sips the red striped beer. Every Sunday I ask why this happened to me. Though familiar to Americans primarily as a laid-back beach destination, Jamaica is hardly idyllic. The country has the world's highest murder rate, and its rampant violence against gays and lesbians have prompted human rights groups to confer another ugly distinction, the most homophobic place on earth. In the past 2 years, two of the island's most prominent gay activists, Brian Williamson and Steve Harvey, have been murdered, and a crowd even celebrated over Williamson's mutilated body. Perhaps most disturbing, many anti-gay assaults have been acts of mob violence. In 2004, a teen was almost killed when his father learned his son was gay and invited a group to lynch the boy at his school. Months later, witnesses say police egged on another mob that stabbed and stoned a gay man to death in Montego Bay. And this year, a Kingston man, Nokia Cowan, drowned after a crowd shouting, Batty Boy, a Jamaican epithet for homosexual, chased him off a pier. Batty Boy! Batty Boy!
I see.
Jamaica is the worst any of us have ever seen, said Rebecca Schlieffer of the U.S.-based Human Rights Watch, author of a scathing report on the island's anti-gay hostility. Jamaica may be the worst offender, but much of the rest of the Caribbean also has a long history of intense homophobia. Islands like Barbados still criminalize homosexuality, and some seem to be following Jamaica's more violent example. Last week, two CBS News producers, both Americans, were beaten with tire irons by a gay bashing mob while vacationing on St. Martin. One of the victims, Ryan Smith, was airbused to a Miami hospital where he remains in intensive care with a fractured skull. This was written in 2006. Gay rights activists attribute the scourge of homophobia in Jamaica largely to the country's increasingly thuggish reggae music scene. Few epitomize this melding of reggae and gangster cultures more than Banton, who's one of the nation's most popular dancehall singers. Born Mark Meary, he grew up the youngest of 15 children in Kingston Salt Lane, the sort of slum dominated by ultra-conservative Christian churches and intensely anti-gay Rastafarians. Banton parlayed homophobia into a ticket out of Salt Lane. One of his first hits, 1992's Boom Bye Bye, boasts of shooting gays with Uzis and burning their skin with acid like an old tire wheel. Banton's lyrics are hardly unique among reggae artists today. Another popular artist, Elephant Man, O'Neill Bryan, 29, declares in one song, "When you hear a lesbian getting raped, it's not our fault. Two women in bed, that's two sodomites who should be dead." Another bounty killer, Rodney Price, 33, urges listeners to burn Mr. Faggoty and make him wince in agony. Burn Mr. Faggoty and make him wince in agony.
Got a ring to it, don't it?
Yeah. Reggae's anti-gay rhetoric has seeped into the country's politics. Jamaica's major political parties have passed some of the world's toughest anti-sodomy laws and regularly incorporate homophobic music in their campaigns. The view that results, as Jamaican human rights lawyer Philip Dale, is that a homosexual isn't just an undesirable, but an unapprehended criminal. Meanwhile, gay rights activists say Jamaica police often overlook evidence in anti-gay hate crimes, such as the alleged assault by Banton in 2004. His accuser, Brian, says cops excised Banton's role from their reports of the 2004 beating. A police spokesman denies that, but in dismissing the case earlier this year, the judge in the trial warned Banton to avoid violence and seek legal recourses when he has complaints against gays in the future. Banton refused Time's request for an interview. His manager, Donovan Germain, insists that the singer is innocent and that Banjo's lyrics are part of a metaphorical tradition. They're not a literal call to kill gay men. There are some signs that Jamaica may soften its approach. Jamaica's ruling party last month elected the nation's first female prime minister, Portia Simpson Miller, a progressive who gay rights supporters will eventually hope a move to decriminalize homosexuality. You like how the way I'm reading this so far or what?
It's great.
She hasn't yet said that, but Jamaica's beleaguered gays say they at least have reason now to hope their government will change its tune before their reggae stars ever do. Let's all go to Jamaica, man, and kill some faggots. Smoke a big fat one and kill some faggots. I was speaking of that. Brandon says, first off, only a girlfriend. I don't take guys, just play with them. Second, George is absolutely right. Since I have my money-grubbing girlfriend, which I don't have a problem with her handing a few dollars here and there, I do okay financially. But if I had a family with a bunch of kids, I'm sure a trip to Five Guys could be out of the question. Even for ballers like me, my money doesn't go as far as it once did. I actually dipped into my savings for the first time in years, but something that was a bit pricey. Yeah, we're all dipping into our savings, baby. We're dipping and dripping.
Well, I appreciate him volunteering to be our correspondent there.
I beg your pardon?
Since he's more liquid than I am, I appreciate that he's volunteering to go and do the reporting.
He's
going to
go and check it out for us. Five Guys, burgers and fries. Well, I bet you that footy wishes he'd have done that soup pool himself, man. Oh, he might still be on the air, but I sure doubt it.
Put him over the top.
Yeah. Or maybe Jimmy Syphilis might want to steal it. Steak and Shake has good chili, sort of like soup. Chili is not soup. I think they might have another soup, too, but I always get the chili, says somebody. Marty. Marley. And Scrooge. Joe McGrane was a very mediocre catcher for the Cardinals in the mid-80s. Oh, he's not. It's not Joe Morgan. He pitched in the 87 World Series against the Twins. He is okay as a broadcaster. Oh, my God. Brandon says, if you didn't see it during the Super Bowl, George could even enjoy this. And all Denny's in America is going to do, what? All Denny's in America is going to give everybody a free Grand Slam breakfast Tuesday from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. There you go.
Really?
6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Well, then. You
got plenty of time before the show.
Jess.
What do you think?
I just might.
Grand Slam it. Joe McGrane. Now it's starting to ring a bell a little bit, I think. I don't know.
Joe Migraine?
Yeah, Joe Migraine gives me a McGrane. Not Joe Morgan. He's horrible also, by the way. Terrible. Awful. I think the knob guy is at my door.
Yeah, the knob polisher?
I'm kind of getting used to it now.
The knobber? Really?
Yeah, he's polishing my knob.
Not as sensitive as he used to be?
Kind of like Wayne Gretzky. He likes to polish his knob.
Yeah. Does he use liniment?
On his what? His nose or his
rectum
knob?
You like it?
Yeah, man.
Good morning, Americans. It's Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Frankie was driving home and was pulled over by a police officer for a broken taillight. The cop looked into Frankie's car and saw a collection of knives in the back seat. Sir, the officer inquires, why do you have all those knives? And Frankie replies, well, they're for my juggling act. I'm afraid I don't believe you, says the officer. You need to prove it. So Frankie gets out of his car and begins juggling the knives. At the same time, another car with Joe and Steve inside drives by. Man, said Joe, I'm glad I quit drinking. These new sobriety tests are hard. Now page two. Nicole sat on a plane heading for New York when the pilot announced that because of difficulties with the plane's engines, he was going to make an emergency landing. Nicole, fearing this may be the end of her life, looks over to a man sitting next to her and rips her shirt and bra off and throws herself upon him. Make me feel like a woman again, she screams. So the man rips his shirt and pants off and says, here, iron these, Paul Harvey. Good day.
1:30 at 560 WQAM. That was mildly amusing.
Mm-hmm. Old but cute.
Yeah, very old and mildly cute. So there's one question I'd like to ask.
You like it?
Maybe I do.
Here's the poll results so far, 226 votes. Now, what did we get out of 902 on the first one? We're 1,100-plus votes today.
Woo!
And, of course, it was Matt with that soup poll that really turned the audience on its tail.
Rectum.
What?
When are you going to use that poll?
I don't know. Maybe I'll use it over the weekend. What decade did South Florida become a crappy place in which to live? 1980s, 82. Wasn't that the decade of the Mariel Boatlift? Yes.
Yes.
I see. 1990s, 61. There's nothing wrong with South Florida, 37. 16.3% of you have the audacity to say that. 2000s, 23. Shouldn't we add on to this poll, I don't live in South Florida?
Good idea.
Don't live there. 2000s, this decade, 23. 1970s, 15. 50s, 6. And the 1960s, solamente dos. Out of 226. Yeah, if you add on there, don't live there, it'll add another couple of votes.
Just did.
Another few. So what about that Michael Phelps, man? Bad role model for your kids smoking the ganja.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of these goody-two-shoes in the media who are crawling around on their hands and knees, stoned on every hallucinogen that's ever been invented, and they're giving us a song and a dance about, oh, Michael Phelps. First of all, he's a freak, okay? I think if they want to investigate his personal background, it would be a lot more useful to find out what planet he came from as opposed to whether he smokes weed. Don't you think?
He is disproportionate.
He's bizarre, man.
He's all out of proportion.
His face is strange. His body is strange.
His arms
maybe
are longer
even
than his legs.
Is strange. I don't know, and I don't care.
People are strange.
Weird. What?
People have strange.
People have strange. That's right. I bet you he's getting some strange. I'm not sure what. Some strange stuff. Oh, another winter storm, but it's going to miss here. Thank God.
Down to the Gulf Coast, and this air keeps going as well. It goes all the way down into the Gulf of Mexico, blowing that cool, cool air.
Wasn't that Sky Miles O'Brien?
Into Florida. That will also keep the humidities low here in Texas where we had those fires.
Well, tomorrow, 68 Miami. How do you like that?
Woo!
You see how you like the cold, man. Get out your... Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Having grown up north...
Yes.
In the wintertime, and of course my mother was such a, you know, fuss budget... overbearing bitch.
Mm-hmm.
But in the wintertime, your parents would make you wear either, you know, when it was snowing and ice, rubbers or galoshes. I mean, back in those days, rubbers had, you know, two meanings.
Correct.
Now, do people still wear rubbers on their shoes?
Overshoes? I imagine that they do.
Is that what they call overshoes?
Yeah, up north.
No, I'm not talking about boots.
No, the overshoes, the people that wear suits, you know, they wear overshoes over their dress shoes, or they change into, you know, from boots back into their dress shoes. The ladies especially like to change their shoes.
What kind of an answer was that?
Well, first of all, I don't live up north. You do. So you tell me if you.
So in other words, when you lived in Montana, it didn't snow?
It did snow, and people would occasionally, the suits I'm talking about, like people who were lawyers, bankers, not that we had a whole lot of them, would wear overshoes over their dress shoes. But mostly, people wore boots, and then they would change into their...
They wear boots.
Right. They would change them when they got to work.
Well, what about just everyday schleppers, you know, like us?
I never saw an everyday schlepper wearing overshoes or rubbers or galoshes, no. We all just wore boots.
Goulashes? Let's get back to that soup thing. Let's go to Hungarian goulash.
Let's put galoshes on there.
Yeah, let's put galoshes on this pool. So that didn't answer my question. I don't know.
You gotta tell me.
I don't see anybody wearing them here.
I think they're passe, but
I don't have a fetish with feet like you do. You're very much into feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, including that one punk that worked when we were doing that horrible whammy TV thing.
That's right. Whatever you say, I'm always sick.
And you were telling me about his strange feet?
Dude, the guy wore sandals and his feet, and he always put his feet up. How could you miss them?
Yeah, he must have been ugly. I don't know.
Yeah, he was.
Who? Now, which guy was it?
Fat Ugly Joe. He wore like Birkenstocks. He always had
Fat Ugly Joe, that fat effer?
Yeah.
God, he was annoying as hell, man. Whatever happened to all those people? They sure as hell never came back and contacted us again after that abortion. The way they butchered that thing up. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't listen to me. It was my show, but they wouldn't listen to me. We
got to
get some calls on there.
Yeah.
Got to get some call. Well,
they knew better.
Yeah, obviously. And then, of course, the audio kept, you couldn't hear the audio on that thing. I mean, that was just, talk about embarrassing.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Marvin. That's your buddy, Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get me an IOD. He couldn't finish me off, so we gave it his best shot on Whammy Miami. And, of course, now no speaky English there anyway, so.
Whammy! God, it sucks.
Yeah. Don't you think we need a few more no speaky English stations on TV in Miami?
That'll bring more people to Spanish language.
That's right. Like Ray Perry would say, that'll bring a lot more people to speak Spanish if we just put a lot more Spanish language TV stations on here and radio stations, too. The same Ray Perry who said, if we just had a lot more sports talk stations, it'll bring a lot more people to sports talk. Right. So we can divide that little pie. We can divide that thimble up into a millionth of a piece. Like Mo would say, a tiny sliver of a slice. Boy, that was something. Now, was that hurricane? Which one was it?
I don't know.
It wasn't Katrina, was it?
Wilma?
No, it was the other one.
Wilma.
It was one of those,
right.
and maybe it was Katrina. I don't know. Wilma was much worse in South Florida than Katrina.
Yes.
And nobody could drive. Nobody could get anywhere. Everybody was, like, stuck. The restaurants were all closed. Nobody had any electricity. And so the guys from Power, if I've got the story right, ordered in some pizzas. Or they went out and got them.
They physically brought it in with
them.
They
physically brought in pizzas for the Power 96 staff.
For themselves. It was just one pizza.
Just one pizza?
Two guys brought in one pizza for themselves to share.
It was from two guys?
No.
Or five guys? Pizza and fries.
Papa John's.
Yeah.
And
Mo went into the kitchen and stole how much of it?
Like a quarter of it. He just went in and grabbed like three slices. All at once. You guys can't hog all this pizza to yourselves. And they're trying to explain it to
stairs.
And he shoves them out of the way. He like they're standing in front of the box, you know, and he like wedges his arms in between them, pushes them out of the way, and tears into the pie and walks off with a quarter of it.
Not my buddy Mo.
I joist you not.
All for me.
Oh, the stuff that he did in this place. It's just
gang rape is funny.
You'll never believe it. You mentioned Mo, and guess what happened on my computer?
It crashed.
No. But this Uniblue speed up my PC, this blue thing,
popped up
on there again. Where does that come from? I mean, I just deleted it. Was that connected with, like, my Outlook Express
have some spyware or something like that? You keep saying that, and the answer is no.
No what?
It's because you have a browser open. That's where it's coming from. Or you have some spyware or something like that.
Well, let's see what Gabriel has. The emails have slowed down. Oh, it'll go down as one of the most thrilling Super Bowls of all time. That's correct. But as it has become all too common in the NFL, an officiating controversy threatens to overshadow the stellar play on the field. Oh, are they going to start again about that last play there? Did he tuck it? Did he cock it? The 5 seconds left. It's true. He was trying to pass. It was ruled a fumble, and it was not. The problem is there was no official replay review to take a closer look at the ruling. Instead, the Steelers got the ball, knelt down, the clock ran out, and there you go. Frankly, it's remarkable there was no booth challenge to review the play. It was certainly close enough to warrant a look. It was an incomplete pass. In all probability, the call in the field would have been confirmed, but why not appease the masses and rip any talk of controversy in the bud? If the call had been overturned, Arizona would have had the ball on the Pittsburgh 29-yard line. Certainly close enough to have had a reasonable shot at scoring a last-second touchdown. It was a night marred by questionable calls, but the game managed to make everyone forget about the disparity in penalties. 106 yards for the Cardinals against just 56 for the Steelers, with a thrilling finish. And then came the unreviewed call. Oh, bop, 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 on and on and on. On NBC, Al Michaels suggested there wasn't any doubt the play would be looked at in the booth. He was stunned as anyone when the Steelers knelt down for the victory. No, he wasn't stunned because he said it was definitely a fumble. He tried to cover it up. For what it's worth, Kurt Warner thought it was an incomplete pass, too. In his post-game press conference, he said, I was really surprised on that one because it was definitely moving my arm for, well, you lost, okay? You lost. Evidently, Jesus was busy with other things and couldn't be bothered. They lost. Yeah, it should have been. They should have had 5 seconds left. But after all the other controversy and after all the other crap and penalties and smash-mouth crap, enough was enough. Even George turned it off at that point.
That's right.
You're a monkey, she's a monkey, he's a monkey, we're all monkeys now. Swinging tree to tree, we scream and squawk and shout. No responsibilities, that's what we're all about.
Oh, I'm a monkey, you're a monkey, she's a monkey, he's a monkey, we're all monkeys now.
We don't do anything we're told because we don't know how.
Don't brush our teeth, don't comb our hair, we don't even wear clothes.
We love to make you queasy with our private parts exposed.
You're a monkey, she's a monkey, he's a monkey, we're all monkeys now.
We're not well-mannered, well-behaved, we just love to drop trowel.
We'll do some tricks, we'll make you laugh until we are fed.
Then we'll lay down, scratch our butts, and watch you all turn red.
Oh, I'm a monkey, you're a monkey, she's a monkey, he's a monkey, we're all monkeys now.
We wouldn't want to be a dog, a cat, a horse, or cow. We're smelly, and we like it, and we've heard the things you said.
So don't come with
celebrity entitlement. And besides, I only had a lick and a schmear and a sliver of a slice of pizza. I want your pizza. I'll take that pizza.
Till 2 at 560 WQAM. Don't let me forget during this big discussion we're having this afternoon about the formatics there with those rejoins, because now they're worse than ever.
Yeah.
Because now we got a whole bunch of them that just end cold. And every now and then when you don't expect it, the sports leader, all that crap, you know.
Right.
When are they going to just get rid of that? All right. It's like it's like an S&M thing for the. It's like an endurance contest for the audience.
Yeah.
When will it finally end, and when do we get back to the program, man?
Never.
God. I just mentioned that in passing. Not that they're going to pay any attention to it, because Clarence is a programming genius. He's a maven. Maybe you could pull like a Michael Corleone during this meeting, because you're going to be actually there live.
Yeah.
Excuse yourself to go, Joyce, and then come back.
Oh, good idea. Here,
two shots apiece in the head.
Let me go put something in the bathroom real quick.
Yeah, stick it behind that ball and chain, you know? Former L.A. priest gets 3 years in prison and molestation case. Oh, what a shocker. A former Los Angeles priest at the center of Cardinal Roger Mahoney's unsuccessful attempts to keep Archdiocese personnel files from county prosecutions was sentenced today to 3 years in prison for molesting a young boy 2 days ago. This was on Friday. George Miller, 70, pleaded guilty in December to molesting the child between 1988 and 89 and admitted sexually abusing at least three other boys as the Archdiocese received its first complaint in 1977 about Miller molesting a child. My family trusted you to teach me the ways of the Lord, not the ways of hell, one of the victims, now in his 30s, told Miller in a trembling voice in a San Fernando courtroom. Miller, gray-haired and spectacled, sat silently with his fist covering his mouth. A handful of supporters sat behind him in the courtroom audience. I bet you they'd love to shove their fist
rectum
somewhere. And he'd probably enjoy it. Think he might like it? Hey, Father. The district attorney's office initially charged Miller in 2002 with molesting several boys, but the charges were dismissed the next year, along with more than a dozen other cases against priests or former priests, when the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a California law that extended the statute limitations for decades-old sexual abuse. Prosecutors were able to pursue a new criminal case against Miller when an additional victim came forward. Authorities said Miller befriended the victim's mother when the boy was 5 years old, and the priest was assigned to Guardian Angel Church in Pacoima. Pacoima? Pacoima. I never heard of it. Did you?
Me either, no.
P-A-C-O-I-M-A?
Butcher it up. I don't think we'll ever hear of it again.
An attorney for the victim said Miller was placed on leave in 1996 after he was accused a third time of molestation. Church officials said he never returned to the ministry, was reduced to lay status by the Pope in 2005.
Nope,
the Pope returned him to lay status. Maybe he just wanted to get laid. Miller was among the priests whose personnel files were the subject of a vigorous legal battle when Mahoney fought against turning them over to the L.A. County Grand Jury. What are you hiding, Father? What's under the garments there, Pops? Archdiocese officials argued that disclosure would violate priest-bishop communications and priest's privacy rights. They yielded when the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear their arguments. A federal grand jury is now investigating Mahoney's response to allegations of sexual abuse by priests. The beat goes on, baby. On and on. Oh, no, it's just a few isolated incidents, a couple of bad...
Yeah,
screamers, right. Isn't that what it's all about?
That's right.
Just a witch hunt against the church? 268 votes on the poll. Oh, look at this. Here's my official notification from the Aloha Pacific Federal Credit Union online.
Woo, you're rich.
And here's a link to log in. No, I don't think so. Little piece of advice for all you unsuspecting fools. Did George go to the Celine Dion concert on Friday, says somebody? I could have sworn I saw him there. I went with my wife. What was his excuse? Says Bill. Oh, yeah. And Bill was so emphatic about seeing you there, he sent this twice. He's so nice, he sent it twice.
Oh, God.
Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Boy, wouldn't that be a fly-opener, huh, going
sure.
to see Celine Dion?
Woo!
Better you than us. We got that bitch out of here.
Yeah.
She is to Canada what what's her name is to Florida, to the
what's
U.S.
Anita Bryant.
Gloria Estefan.
Oh, come on now.
Come on now, what? I got news for you, that Gloria Estefan, she ain't no Celia Cruz.
No, she ain't.
I think that's going to be our new... Let's discuss that with the powers that be. We ought to have like a couple hours every day of Celia Cruz music to win over...
Boost those numbers up.
Esa negrita que va caminando, esa negrita tiene su tumbao, y cuando la gente la va mirando, ella baila de lado, bien apretado, apretado, apretado.
Yeah, wow. Sounds like she's in pain.
Azúcar, azúcar.
Oh, she's sweet, that's Celia Cruz. Could she sing her way out of a paper sack or what?
Oh, don't get me started.
Did I mention that I got my annual Christmas card from Enrique when I was down there? Came in the mail. Enrique de Grecius. Every year I'm on his list.
I don't think you did mention it. If you did, I forgot.
Well, there you go.
All right, Enrique.
Did you get one?
No. No. That's
probably
right.
He's the one that's sending right. you the hate mail.
It must be.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be.
If Enrique, well...
I'd feel very honored.
And, of course, I hope that Leo gets in touch with Geldy very soon because, obviously, he wants to...
help him?
He wants to get really close with... he's starstruck with Geldy.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get close to some kind of creature that makes those kind of sounds. Attaboy, Leo. Keep him coming every day. I wonder which goofball across the street is sending those. Maybe he took a shining to Leo when he was over across the street. I mean, Geldy. Think?
That could be.
When he was on that shuttle bus, back and forth and back and forth. Coming at ya! Here's Geldy! And don't forget about the booster. He was
coming
here, he was there. That's right. You know something? Now that we think back, coming at ya wasn't all that bad.
O'Neal!
It's Dave! Oh. In Miami Town. At 560 WQAM.
Sun beats down and burns the top of my head. And when my employees laugh at me, I wish I were dead. I got a bald spot on top of me. Yeah, should I paint it, plant it, or cover it? It's all up to me.
All up to you.
He's got a bald spot, just like a billiard ball.
He's got a bald spot.
I feel 3 inches tall.
He's got a bald spot.
Please help me, Ron Popeil.
He's got a bald spot.
I know how Larry King feels.
He's got a bald spot. Bald spot.
Oh, when I painted my head, my wife, she said, she's out of here. And when I go to the John, the guys are using my head for a mirror. I've got a bald spot on top of me. Yeah. Should I paint it, plant it, or cover it? It's all up to me.
All up to you. He's got a bald spot,
just like a billiard ball.
He's got a bald spot.
I feel 3 inches tall.
He's got a bald spot.
Please help me, Ron Popeil.
He's got a bald spot.
I know how